right. Good evening, everyone. And hopefully we are starting right out the gate without any technical problems. And yeah, looks like we are rolling. Thank you all for joining us here tonight. The Christy Aphrodite Show. It is February 12, 2020. And we sure have an awesome show in store for you tonight with one of my favorite astrologers, the Peace Dealer. And we are going to talk about, like, astro awareness, like, what that even means, why we would even want to know astrology. And, you know, we'll talk about some other things, like, well, what if the Earth is flat? What about the 13th planet? Like, does that mean that astrology is all bogus? And how we can use it to learn more about ourselves, others, and the world around us. So hopefully, last night, excuse me, if you were tuning in, I suggested you all get your chart done if you don't already know it. At least get your planets done so when we're talking to you in pictures, it can kind of make more sense. But yeah, thank you for joining us here. This is the Ocelli Radio Network at ocelli.com. And if you want to join our happy little soul family in the text chat, that's over at christyaphrodite.com. Just click on listen and chat. And as always, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to give us a call at 720-740-9229. That's 720-740-9229. Now, the Peace Dealer, I just have to say, you've heard me already talk about him and how he is one of my favorite astrologers. And honestly, you know I suck with words, so I'm not even going to be able to come up with a proper description of this incredible divine vessel channel of cosmic information that is literally unmatched. And, you know, I've been in the alternative radio thing 15 years now. And, you know, I grew up with astrology. So when astrology videos started popping up on YouTube, I was like, wow. Like, I literally saw Leo King's first video and, you know, like as it happened and everybody pop up and stuff. And there are so many amazing channels, readers, etc. out there. But this man, if you can understand his language, if you just do a little bit of, you know, exploratory work on yourself, what do the planets mean? What do the houses mean? What are your planets? And you can truly listen to this man, I guarantee you're not going to hear anyone that goes into, like, the details and to every fine minute detail in the real spiritual battle, the planetary awareness and things that are going on. So we're going to talk about all of these things and get to know him a little bit and how he acquired or became aware of his gift. So yeah, with that being said, and oh, peacedealer.com, thepeacedealer.com, and he's the Peace Dealer on YouTube. So definitely check it out. But with that being said, welcome to the show and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yo, diggity. Okay, and I also didn't mention he's a musician. We have one of his songs, and y'all know how much I love raw talk and stuff. But I also have respect for Ocelli's network and the other places that he streams and rebroadcasts. So I wanted to be able to come up with a song that we could replay without FCC or anyone getting mad at us. So we also are going to share, I think that might be your only song that doesn't have my favorite words in it.
I would say one out of five, seven, or four release songs that doesn't, yeah.
So I was listening to your music. It's SoundCloud /rhyme scheme. And if you would spell that for everyone so they get it right, but I'm going through all your tunes and I'm like, oh, that's badass. And I'm like, oh, wait. We want to be able to replay this. I don't want to.
Right. Yeah.
So we're going to.
That's always humbling when that comes up. It's like, oh, how many songs do I have? Oh, there can't be curses. How many songs do I really have?
Well, again, none of us are against it, but we don't, you know, I really want to be, we could always just go recut it and then but then why? What's the whole point if we're talking about you and sharing your talents and then it's like, oh, here's this great song and then, oh, bleep.
I have some gems that are radio friendly. They are zero curse words. Great message. It's actually a style I'm going to head back to actually at this stage of my artistry. But
wow,
and also just so I can submit records without having like. It's just easier not to curse. That's what I learned.
Well, I love all of your music. And can you spell rhyme scheme for everyone properly so they can listen to your tunes on SoundCloud?
Absolutely. So that is R-H-Y-M-E and S-K-E-E-M instead of the way it's normally spelled.
Right.
Usually the S is capitalized too, but it's all one word. That's an, it's all one word. R-H-Y-M-E-S-K-E-E-M. Rhyme scheme, the lyrical dream, holler.
It makes sense that you're so good at that though, because you do have this gift to channel, and unlike me, you can take those universal pictures and put them in words. And in fact, words that don't make people want to kill you. What is your secret?
Oh, I can't say that people don't want to kill me. I don't think that's true. Remember, I'm still a Gemini at the end of the day, so people are... I shouldn't even be allowed to exist, apparently, but it is what it is.
That is kind of true, because even when we love you, we still want to kill you.
Yeah, and but you still ask a very valid question. I totally get what you mean.
No, I love my Gemini buddies, and if any of my Gemini buddies are tuning in, I mean, I don't know what it is, and maybe it's my Sag moon and Jupiter and all that. I don't know what it is, but Geminis, like literally from elementary school, high school, later down the line, and currently to this day, like, you know, we talked before about like personal friends. Oh my God. Yeah. With the same signs as you, by the way, and that cat moon who, you know, I did the rainforest journey with and the homeless period and then, oh, my other friend in Texas and her babies, and I was there for birth, and I just love you so much. But sometimes, he's still Gemini. But, dude, I'm a Virgo. With three planets in Virgo and three planets in Sag, squaring my Saturn in Gemini with my Pisces ascendant. So, yeah, everybody wants to kill me pretty much, and rarely...
You get it from all angles.
Yeah.
It's a privileged position.
Is that what you... I got privilege.
you get to see how everyone is full of crap.
True, but, you know, it doesn't make it easy when you have to run. And plus, myself, like, okay, which is real? You know, with delusional Pisces and, you know, crazy Sag, and then the Virgo trying to calm it down. But then really, the Virgo, honestly, y'all think that... We're all pristine and prim and proper. And yeah, you know, I might be a good homemaker. I might be an awesome, you know, very fine at details and hardworking and all of that. But I'm not convinced that my Virgo is not my crazy making.
No, that's a really great point. I think Virgo does get that stereotype that they're non-messy and, like, always neat freaks and anal retentive, and I would say that's only 99.9% true. I'm just like, I would say it's maybe only like not as true as we say. That's definitely one of the stereotypes that I'd say we overlook more than we should.
Yeah, for sure.
I know Pisces doesn't like being made out to be like alcoholics and drug addicts, even though most of the drug addicts I've ever met were Pisces, ironically. Right. But
you know, that's one thing that I did not have, and I don't know if that was the Virgo that kept me away, or if it was growing up with it, and, you know, like my brother was on, like, back in elementary school, and meth, and it was terrible. So that kind of, I'll just say this, you know how they're always warning you that, you know, people are going to jump out of the bushes and offer you all these drugs? That never happened in my life. It wasn't, but I was on a lot of pills back then too. So, you know, I was in my own little prison and judging everyone else. So there's probably a reason they didn't want to hang out with me and offer me. I don't blame them. I'm a Virgo, so I'm no fun. Oh, crap. But we're not talking about that yet. We want to talk about you. And, dude, you are young compared to me. Like, I could be your mama. And what I really love about, and I know people are always talking crap about the younger generation, and I have taken the defense of the younger generation more often than not. And when I see people like you that are so tapped in, and when I first, I'm like, does this dude even know how truly gifted he really is? Does he really know how you know? And you probably may not, because how many of us really do recognize how special our gifts are? But you, dude, seriously, of astrology and what you talk about without filter and hardcore, honest, raw truth is the baddest I have ever seen. And when I see young people, and you've been doing it for years too, so, you know, he's in a Saturn return right now for his first ones, for those of you who know what that means, and won't really give his age, but you've been on YouTube, I think, like 5 or something years now, or is it 6, or?
As the peace dealer?
Yeah.
I would say it's been 5 years. No, yeah. 6 years.
Right. Okay.
2014, officially.
Nice. And yeah, you had another name when I saw you elsewhere, and I'm like, oh my God! And I was just like watching, and it actually took me a minute to find you, which I'm so thankful. But yeah, I'm not just blowing smoke. I don't do that. I really believe in your gift, and I just want to say, like, during my homeless period, and again, one of the reasons I say people need to understand astrology, like, the first reason is so you don't kill yourself, okay? The second reason is so you don't kill everyone else. And what I mean by that is we have a tendency to, when things are bad, you know, when we think they can't get any worse, they do. And then when they get worse again, we're like, holy crap, I'm just here to suffer and die and take me out, right? But if you know your chart and if you know the transit, then you can remind yourself it's temporary. And the way I look at a chart is like your syllabus when you enter this earth school. So the 12 houses are your 12 classes, right? Your 12 grades. So when and how you experience them aren't going to be the same as everyone else, because although we're in school, we're in different schools. So my homeless period and getting my... dude, I don't even know how I made it. That's all I got to say. But coming across your videos really helped remind me, you know, get back in check and not get caught up in the turmoil, the suicidal, the depression. This is the end. I'm never going to make it. It's always going to be this way. So that's what I mean by it keeps you from killing yourself. And it keeps you from killing others, because once you understand that we all have a unique blueprint, you start to realize that we are not the same. And the more you understand about yourself and things that are positive you may not know yet, right? Latent talents or something. Or things that you have to work on that we're just not able to look there because we're programmed by society. But, you know, so when you get to know yourself better and realize we are who we are, then it gives us more compassion and tolerance for others as well. So, how did you get into astrology?
At this point, I'm convinced. Every time I, like, try and... Every time I say the story, like, more and more, I'm convinced that I didn't get into astrology. Astrology, like, abducted me. And
boom.
I was like, yo,
yeah,
you're a gang now.
Right.
Because before, the closest thing that I could, like, with people, this was before I even knew about human design, which was the reason why I seek out, like, personality profiling tools. But, like, I was Myers-Briggs guy. When I went to college in year 2008, I had already been reading about, like, speed reading people and learning if they're an introvert or extrovert, and that was my holy grail at the time. I had no idea that, like, astrology takes us to a whole other level.
Right.
And it wasn't until I was just randomly watching, like, horoscope videos around, like, 2011, which is weird because, like, there's no reason why I should have been watching horoscope videos. Like, at the time, I was told that's of the devil and, like, you shouldn't even begin this astrology. So, like, I don't even remember what exactly, like, possessed me to start watching that. But I started watching, like, That was back when, like, Lotta were in their heyday and KRS, but I only remember Marie Moore, the like weekly horoscopes they do. I forgot exactly who I'd be watching, but yeah, I know what really, like, opened the door for me was when I got my natal chart read by Chris Witecki and the Leo King now, but back then, David Palmer. So, like, that was when I realized that, like, astrology even exists on that level. Until then, I thought it was just like, okay, I'm a Gemini. Like, my zodiac sign is a Gemini. So my whole identity is based around this one, zodiac sign.
Right.
When I realized you can, like, read the chart like that, I don't know. I felt like everything changed for me. That was when I was like, oh my gosh. It had addressed every single issue I had with Myers-Briggs as far as not being, like, as comprehensive. And I'm not going to say Myers-Briggs isn't comprehensive because there's an understanding of it that's, like, really dope. But just learning about the different archetypes. Actually, ever since that happened, it's really just been an infinite spiral because to this day, I'm still learning about, like, so much new that deepen my understanding. But yeah, that would be 2012, I would say, it would be around the period I went fully down that rabbit hole.
Awesome. So it was, I kind of say that, like, it's, you know, but that's because you're dialed in somehow. You were able to meet with your path and discover your talent at such a young age. So even though you weren't technically supposed to be studying it, you still had that sense of knowingness in yourself that there was something more. So I'm gathering that you just took to it like peanut butter and jelly, right?
Oh, it was so magical. Because at that time in my life, like, I was getting bombarded with so much, like, concepts that at the time I was told either was impossible, was not true, or was of the devil. So, like,
right,
so much was, like, getting, like, exposed. And at that time, I wasn't used to, like, someone being able to read a chart and know intimate details about my life in ways that, like, I've never been able to make sense of. So that's what really... And it just makes so much sense. Like, duh, right? So...
I just have to say this. I've had a couple readings with you, and I've watched as many of your videos as I can, and every single time, you nail it. And, like, I remember when I was homeless, and you were talking about, and I don't know if it's because my chart is so extreme that everything you always say about Virgo, Sag, Pisces is always me. Always, 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 like, to the T, like, completely extreme. And you said things, God, so this was over 2 years ago, and you're like, oh, yeah, you know, you're going to have this, you didn't say this in a personal reading. It was in an online, a transit talk or something where you went through the signs and, you know, trying to make me, everyone else is telling me I'm going to find my soulmate, right? And I'm just like, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, you're going to kick some butt. Oh, and by the way, you have all these stock, like, every time you've brought up, like, agent, stalker, spies, things like that, that's exactly what's going on. You also said ahead of time that, I mean, people know now, so I might as just put it out there, like, I got a loan to be able to do the things that I'm doing right now. But when you first suggested, you know, when you were talking about the signs, and this was, again, like 2 years ago, in this certain time frame, and you didn't say it like this, only in ways that you could, but you actually said that people, business partners, were going to come into my life, like when they did, and again, you weren't talking to me directly, it was a general video, and that happened like every single freaking time. Like, all I have to say is if you are considering an astrology reading, this is your man. And again, I'll never be able to use words to describe your gift. And I know other astrologers, and other astrologers are great, but for some reason, your videos and everything you say, you're pretty much writing the script of my life. I'm even wondering if I'm like one of your marionettes and I'm just acting out everything you say. Like, I'm pre-programmed to do everything that Peace Dealer says. I don't know. It's kind of spooky sometimes, but yeah, you are definitely tapping into something. So I want to know, because when you said that you kind of weren't allowed and you were told it was of the devil, so I kind of grew up in a situation like that. My grandmother was a seer. She devised her own way of reading playing cards, not tarot cards, astrology, nice. You know, just reading crystal balls every morning. Like, that was, I'll tell you some of my childhood activities. I, opening doors with my mind, okay? So that was the kind of stuff I grew up with my grandma and around the astrology and this and that. But my mother was totally, like, against it. The churches were against it. I was born with a gift that was allowed to be had if I was working for or being handled by someone else. But if it was outside of that, then I was crazy and delusional and had to be medicated. So shortly before your age, I was literally begging God to take my gifts away. I was like church hopping, I call it, like, you know, and trying to ask these priests and pastors and my friends telling me, oh, you got to go talk to this guy, or, oh, you got to, you know, and I lived in Utah at the time, so there's churches on every corner. It's pretty, you just walk down the road, like mile of cars, but it's mile of churches. And wow. Yeah, so that actually wasn't fun. And yeah, I did. I begged God to take my gift away, and whether God actually did that or whether it was my lifestyle or I just tuned out, I wasn't as strong as you. at that age, I had zero belief in myself and was still trying to fit in. So that's another reason that I commend you for being able to stay true to what you know and tap into those gifts no matter how many people tell you that you're crazy.
Yeah, and honestly, like, it's just a testament to my destiny and what I'm doing, because that's what made me not even notice it, because, like, it was really just a shocking realization about how much astrology is the one true science. That's why everything you said right before about my general predictions being spot on for you, I love exactly how you said it, because it comes off like I'm a magician. That, like,
you are
insight. I'm not going to deny that I am magic. I'm not going to deny that. But I'm just saying it comes off like I'm this all-knowing being that, like, knows what's going to happen, when it's just so, the science of astrology is so on point. It's predictable now to a point where it can be on point all the time. And I think one of the biggest blocks is just learning how to see it. And you nailed it in the beginning, how you say it's more of a language I speak.
Yeah. I can, like, when I sit and listen to you, and, you know, you have a lot of people, like, they're in a live chat, and sometimes I watch, but it gets too distracting, and, you know, to pay attention to the chat. But I just wonder how many... they love you and hear what you're saying to a degree on some level, but I question how many people really see how magic you really are. And, okay, so you want to blame science, that's great. It is an absolute science. It is the first, and, you know, I'll even say one true, because that just sounds cool. But...
right.
You have more than just that knowledge of science. You had the gift first, and then you figured out the science behind it. And even without astrology, you still receive and can transmit.
When you said that I have the gift first, that's really what has been tripping me out the past few weeks, because I've been listening to, like, music I've made when I used to... be a quote-unquote Christian rapper, or music I made just in the past period, work I've done in the past before I knew about astrology, and it's like everything I was, like, channeling or saying is verbatim, like, confirmation, everything I've discovered with my chart, which, yeah, I thought that was... I'm glad you really said it like that, though, because, yeah, it's like the gifts... were always there, and like, this astrology was more like a tool for self-discovery.
Yeah. He's bona fide badass, that's all I gotta say. And, you know, you can minimize your talents, but it truly is a rare and beautiful gift. And I salute you, because I know you've, you know, also been getting pressure from outside forces, and you have stayed true and been you, and you haven't let anyone sway you. And that's rockin'. That's perfect, because authenticity is it. And I really love, like, I wish we can play some of your music, like Weirdo or what's the, I forget
that's
the
one
other
of my
one.
Favorite songs right now.
Yeah, and because you are the best weirdo, and you make weirdos like me. I mean, I've been a weirdo since before you were born, but you have perfected weirdo, you have rocked weirdo, and you have made me feel way better being weird, because I wasn't allowed to be weird, and that was something that was used to, like, shame and belittle me. And when I look back at my life, or you look at anything, like, you know, society is trying to make everybody a picture of what they want. But who's actually respected? Who's talked about when they're dead? Who accomplishes things? It's not, you know, your sweet little neighbor or grandma following all the rules and doing what everyone tells them to do. It's the people that trust themselves and whatever it is, what they're led by, enough to step outside the box, show their face, show their mistake. I remember the first time you sang in a chat. and you were so scared and nervous, and it was just so cute. It was.
Oh my god!
So, but you did it anyways. It's like that episode. Oh, what's that movie? My Best Friend's Wedding. And I don't know if anybody saw that, but Cameron Diaz got up and she couldn't sing, but Julia Roberts' character was trying to embarrass her because she wanted the guy, but she got up and did it anyways, through the tears, through the shakes, through the, you know, getting booed off stage, but what happened, they all stood up and clapped. Yeah, and so I have major respect for you. For that weirdo.
Thank you. Thank you for real.
You're so
that
welcome.
Means a whole lot. No, I really it's something you said that was very vital. It's not until the last decade and a half that being weird has been trendy. I don't think it'll ever really be truly cool to people, but like, yeah, it's been very trendy. There was a time when you really couldn't. I know growing up, for sure, I could only imagine how much more rigid it's been.
Oh, yeah. It's like, so. Yeah, that's the key, though, and you've nailed it, and that's just another one of the many reasons you rock, so, yeah. So, one of the things that I've learned on my journey is self-love heals all. And how do you learn to love yourself? You learn to be okay with your, say, weirdness, right? And shine whatever that is. Like, most of my life, I was terrified of everything, because even scars or surgeries or like, I couldn't even wear bathing suits. If I had a little scar or a mark or a hair out of place or my voice not being perfect or anything about me, in fact, I basically suck at everything, but I still keep trying. And then eventually, you know, after I cuss a whole bunch, it finally works. And then I look like I know how to do stuff, but I actually really don't. But I've only been able to acquire that by learning to be okay with my so-called imperfections. Because the thing is, when you say that people, not everybody, embraces your weirdness, all authentic people will, whether they agree with you and what you say or not. So people who are wearing masks are not going to appreciate people who are not wearing masks. And we don't wear masks, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's, should we play one of your songs right now and come back? Or do you kind of want to talk about astrology and the reason we're doing this topic?
Let's get right into it. Dude, totally down.
All right, let's do it. We could take breaks whenever we want or play music whenever we want. We can, we're not really on a schedule, so whatever feels good. So, all right, now astrology, and I understand why so many people are against it, because they have diluted it, obviously. They're not taught that it's a science. We are taught, like you said, you know, you were like, oh my God, a Gemini, this is me, and that's all there is. And I'll tell you what, I was a self-hating Virgo when I'm like reading about, you know, and thinking that's all I am. And astrology books aren't very nice to Virgos.
Nope.
So I'm like, poor no, Gemini. Why do I have to be a Virgo? And then, you know, when I found out I had Aries in the first house, I'm like, cool. I'm a cool sign now. Or, you know, my Venus and Leo, like, okay, I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to hide the Virgo. And, oh, yeah, my moon's in Sag, so that's cool. But it again, like you, wasn't until I figured out that sun sign astrology, what's in magazines and newspapers, they basically are telling you that you are exactly like 1/12 of the people on the planet. So whether you're Gemini, Aries, Taurus, whatever, you know, here, you're a Gemini, this is what you're like, this is what you want, this is what's going to happen, this is what your day's like. And it's like, clearly, you're not exactly like, none of us are exactly like 1/12 of the people on the planet. So let's talk about what astrology really is, and if there, you know, what kind of evidence there is of its validity.
Great question. It's actually amazing because given the current research and material on it, it's actually unacceptable to say on any level that astrology is like bollocks or BS.
I'm a newbie. Sorry.
Oh no, it's totally fine. It's totally fine.
I hope that didn't hurt your ears.
No.
Okay.
Sorry. I think it was well timed, though. I think it was well timed, ironically.
Oh my god. I did not mean to interrupt. That was my cat broke my mic stand. And so I'll just come out. I'm having problems. So, all right. Yeah, so getting back to the science of astrology.
Yeah, it's a really good question because you spoke about how sun sign horoscopes give the impression that there's just 1/12 of, you know, personality. So it really just comes down to understanding the mechanism of it and like you said, like, what is it really? So it's not a faith, because astrology works physically. You can experience it, you can observe it, and you can know how it applies firsthand. They're actually like sound reasons why it's proved difficult to test astrological practice. Some of which, you know, back then they may not have just had like the equipment or technology, and then also just misunderstanding. But I would say first and foremost, there's astrology as a science. There's astrology as a language. There's astrology as an art form. If you take in natal chart interpretation, it is scientific because you have to calculate angles.
Right.
Between the sun and the planets.
Yeah, it's math. Like, people don't realize how much work is involved in... Yeah. I mean, have you ever looked at an ephemeris? Like, you know, you open this book and you're like, what? What is this language? What does this mean? Like, there's...
It does look like another language.
Yeah.
I would say that's it looks like if you don't get the glyphs, it's like, what are you reading?
So... Yeah.
But I think that's the most important thing to kind of like get underway, because you have religious skepticism that will like quote biblical verses from the Pentateuch, like Deuteronomy, or they'll quote like Moses, and always try and put the astrologer in the bad position, because in these books they say you shouldn't divine, these stories they say, you know, Moses had to prove his might against the astrologers that the king had in the book of Daniel. The king had astrologers that basically weren't able to decipher the dream. So, you know, religious figures will say, see, this is proof that astrology isn't right. That is not proof at all. If anything, the three wise men using stars to find Jesus is proof alone that you need to know about how the Bible supports and the Quran supports astrology. But people need to understand astrology is not, see, there's magic in astrology, but astrology is not like some psychic art.
Right.
It's not magic. It's inherently science. There's constellations that, you know, people mistake to be zodiac signs. But the reason why, as sure as day, the proper horoscopes are accurate. The reason why my son's in Gemini and your son's in Virgo is because, as sure as day, the sun every single day travels across the ecliptic path 1 degree. And the earth has a celestial equator.
the ecliptic path and the equator do intersect. It is the reason and basis behind faithfully every year we have seasons. The Tropic of Cancer and Capricorn literally mark out the seasonal path of how we experience, of course, from the Earth's basis and perspective, how much sun we see per day. So we know that is a fact. 360 degrees marks this ecliptic path. And so common misconception is to believe that you're a Virgo because your sun was in the constellation of Virgo when you were born. But that's not true. I know for me, my sun was in the constellation of Taurus. But that's not why I'm a Taurus sun. I'm a Gemini sun because of the position sun was in relation to the equator of the Earth, born right before the summer solstice. And in that positional frame, that is what allows me to have Gemini characteristics. And it is also scientific proof, and anyone can correct me if I'm wrong, that seasons affect human temperament. This is why tropical astrology is always accurate, because faithfully the sun will always travel and cycle around and give us those seasons every 3 months. So right off the bat there, this is what makes transits accurate, because the sun is always going to make angles to the planets that are orbiting around it. And that is what allows us to make predictions. That is what allows us to really understand people's charts, because it's the relationship between the angles the planets make to Earth and the sun, and how that causal relationship makes up who you are, makes up what's going to happen, which is still controversial, because like astrology kind of forces you to accept certain presuppositions that have always been inherently controversial. Mm-hmm. Astrology with the nodes forces you to accept that predeterminism is real. Reincarnation is real. Magic is real.
Yeah. Well,
an intelligent creator exists.
Right. And I love what you're saying, because wouldn't predicting the tides be an astrological science? I mean, everyone seems to accept that the moon, that tiny little satellite out there, has influence over the water, the tides, the oceans, and then our body has the same amount of water as that. So if common knowledge of any type of belief or religion or whatever accepts that the moon controls the tides, and look, we have books out. Like, have you gone fishing? You go to your guide and it'll tell you this day the water is going to be here. The tide's going to be this shallow. It's going to be this deep. You know, that's how people plan their fishing or their clam digging or whatever. So we really technically are using astrology in our daily lives, yet damning it as some kind of religious fad.
Exactly. What you said is the most fascinating thing about astrology. Like I know I said astrology forces you to recognize magic. You could be an atheist and thrive with astrology. You don't have to believe in magic and you'll still live astrology. Like, some of the people who know astrology the best and have taught me it don't even believe in astrology, because they're still going to abide by its principles. And you nailed it too, because, the moon also affects tides. I feel like people just let their cognitive dissonance and fear of accepting a craft like this in, because no defense of it really makes any sense, especially when you get into predictions. Predicting transits of the stars is almost identical, if not very similar, to a meteorologist. So when an astrologer predicts transits, people fetishize so much more if they get it right or wrong. But if a meteorologist got the weather right, no one's going to treat him like a psychic. It's science.
Right.
Yeah. that's really all we're doing. Like, we're pretty much just saying the astro weather.
Yeah, like, exactly. And even the weather, isn't that kind of a form? Like, so it's totally accepted to predict the tides, right? But, no, you can't let... The planets don't predict anything. Don't talk to that crazy person. That's the devil. Oh, man. We're so deceived on so many levels, yet we have... spirituality, astrology, all of these things that we condemn embedded in our lives in so many areas, but we still deny it or want to attack it. And I don't know. I for me, astrology has only helped me. It has only enhanced my understanding of myself and world events and things that, I mean, I think pretty much most of us here know that there's something bigger, greater, smarter than us, right? And clearly there are patterns, like in history, like some of the transits we've been through and some things that have occurred and some of the transits we're about to go through, that when you go back in history a couple hundred years or even 100 years or whatever, the same types of things are happening and lining up. So maybe, just in case, before we get into questions, there's a good question on the chat, but before we get into that, can you talk about some major events that have... And, you know, like wars or whatever that have similar transits, whether it's Pluto or Saturn or Uranus, things like that. And while you're thinking about that, I just want to say this. So I worked at this amazing restaurant recently. And we, the day it closed, like literally the day, and it was kind of out of the blue, but not really, because there were things pestering beneath the surface that had to be addressed. And when the key person built up the courage to address the issue, it was on the exact day, I think it was March 3rd of last year, when Uranus left Aries and went into Taurus or something. Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. But when did the restaurant open? Right when it entered. Right when Uranus, 7 years, dude. And on the very day we addressed this issue, and he says, looks like a great time to close the restaurant. And that was it. Boom. End. Yeah. Right in line with the transits, including the explosions that happened, precipitating the necessity of even having that discussion in the first place, also went in line with some. So those are just smaller personal things, but if you can bring to our awareness some major events in history and what kind of transits we were facing then and similar ones.
Well, one of my favorite ones to cite right off the bat, almost always, is going to be Pluto that came out of Capricorn and went into Aquarius, which was pretty much around 1776 when our the U.S. was founded. Amongst other things.
Wow.
So it's kind of cool to see how that's like cycling back around, and how a lot that was instilled in this nation is like simultaneously falling away. Like the vision that the forefathers of America had for this country is not at all what it is right now.
Right. And then there's that, were they working for the crown the whole time? But that's another show.
That's a very interesting point. I mean, there's certain facets like freedom that are being debated, but like there's a huge conversation to be had about where humanity is going now, and, you know, considering this wave of mental health people are on or talking about it, that'll be really interesting. But I would say, like, World War One was 1914. World War Two was around 1950. And then we had the Korean War, like, around 1940. It's really interesting to kind of talk about these recent wars because they... One thing I've recently learned about astrology is that you can look at the chart of a day, but there's the ripple effects and there's the cycles that occur after, you know, these events have happened. It's never really just one day. It's always what happened 6 months from it. How is that always encouraged? So I know with these first two or three wars that I mentioned, Jupiter was transiting out of, like, the collective signs. Jupiter reached a place where it was influencing the collective conscious as a whole. So it's nice to kind of see that. It's not really an indicator that it has to be there, but it's definitely an impression. But the thing that's interesting is, you know, the effects of World War One and Two, and more notably the Iraqi War, are still effective. Like, the reason why troops got deployed into Iran has a lot to do with the race the relations that have been occurring since the 90s. So, right. You know, it's what you asked is really fascinating because I think that's what we as astrologers have as an advantage now that we didn't have before, and it's the ability to, like, create institutions where we can research this and, like, actually define, you know, how do you correlate these things? What is good to look out for? And right. Really just to see what can be pointed out.
Yeah. So you have, you know, a couple hundred years of historical wars at least that we can, you know, where, and history really, time kind of proves everything. It can teach you astrology. It can teach you better relationship habits. It can, you know, it can teach you all sorts of things just by looking back and then seeing the relevant points, what's in common in those time periods. And without going into every single detail, it does kind of appear that we are in some times, like ones we could recognize in the past, like you said, Pluto and Capricorn, and you said going into Aquarius, that was 1776. So we're kind of coming up against that right here pretty soon this year, huh?
2023, it's the beginning of the end.
the end of what?
To be outright upfront. Yeah, do about it. That.
So the end of what?
The beginning of the end of humanity and the world as we've known it.
Oh, for sure.
All the crazy stuff we've seen in the movies. That's when things are going to start happening. Like, did you notice that everything since 2008, especially, has just been an incremental build, just of, like, more madness and just crazier stuff. Like, could you imagine if the things that happened in this year alone happened like 10 years ago, people would just lose their mind.
Right. Or 20 or 30. Yeah. We're definitely on an accelerated learning path right now.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think people know how to handle this. I don't think anyone can. It's just so extreme. It's like,
I think that might be one of the reasons people want to avoid it, because they don't want to know, and they think that, you know, out of mind, out of sight, if they don't know, if they don't study it, or if they do study it and they see something that isn't airy, fairy, fluffy, duffy, that, oh, that's of the devil, that's not true. And then you'll have, what, New Age communities blaming you because you created it with your thoughts, and I'm like, well, wait a minute, why are you killing babies all over the world? What are you doing with your thoughts?
That part right there. It doesn't help that some of the greatest deception has kind of come from the quote-unquote spiritual community, which doesn't make it easier.
Right.
But anytime anyone uses that as, like, an excuse not to, like, delve in, you know, medicine is a regulated field, law is a regulated field, this isn't regulated. Like, we don't... I kind of still feel it's like the Wild Wild West, but internet is giving it some kind of structure, because at least everything could be quantified. Now, yeah, all these predictions people make, if they don't erase it, it's like, we know what you predicted or what you prophesied, quote-unquote, when, and, you know, we can find out even quicker and know who's who.
I kind of miss the Wild Wild West, honestly, because I can't think of one structure that has ever been created that actually improved things for the people. So, at large.
True.
Because, yeah, so... But again, this is our school, so we can get mad at them, or we can, you know, say, bring it. Like, all right, this is a tough school, this is a tough test, but you know what? You look at kindergarten, like, when people are, oh, the 80s are so good, I miss the old days, and I'm like, okay, single bullet theory, you know, yeah, sure, everything was perfect, Bay of Pigs, you know what I mean? Okay, MLK, yeah, sure, everything was perfect, right? What was, though, when we're in kindergarten, we have less lessons, right? And we are on an accelerated course here that is... Without a doubt, I'm not going to deny that, but obviously your PhD or, you know, sixth grade's harder than kindergarten, 12th grade's harder than ninth grade, and so we're kind of like, we're all in probably like our third PhD course, and some of us have not had all the steps to get there, and the training wheels are off anyways, and... We're all gonna die. I'm just kidding, but it's getting kind of tough. I want to hear your perception on what's going on astrologically right now with some of the key transits.
You know, that's what's really hard as a quote unquote astrologer to really even interpret, because like you have a lot of people who are really low key just wanting things to be quote unquote normal again. And then you have a lot more people wanting to know, like, the meaning of their life or, like, what's going on. And it's really hard to, like, tell people, like, yo, your civilization as you know it is about to reach a peak state. And everybody is about to go crazy.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the new norm. Because if you think about the way civilization has been structured, everything is predicated upon masking your true self and
right.
like bottling up your emotions and putting on an image and really being fake. I mean, you know this firsthand because you already know how people try to crucify you for being real and being you. But like that builds up. That is generational. That's now genetic. And like at some point all of it's coming to a head right now. Look at the way people are like they don't know what to do about gun control, because we've for so long swept under the rug these real issues, and the transits are pushing us to the climax of this, to where now we have no choice but to deal with it. And that's because this lie, this illusion of peace that society has created as a veil is going to burst, and the next question is how safe is safe? How safe is the community? What anything can happen, right? Like someone can walk up and shoot it up. So like how safe is it really? And why are we all pretending it's all normal?
Right.
That's where we are right now.
Right. It's like la la la, just let's go back to work. I don't want any excitement. Go home. Get on my PlayStation or Netflix and
right,
go
exactly.
do it again, la la la. And for, you know, a lot of people are kind of being surprised because reality is kind of hitting them in an instant as opposed to the much easier gradual allowance. And seeing it for what it is by our own choice. And I know I've been smacked by realities that I didn't want to avoid, you know, obviously, myself. So I understand it's, and you asked the perfect question, how safe is safe? Because we kind of convince ourselves in our minds that If we, you know, ignorance is bliss, right? If we don't know, we're safe, or if we do what we're told, we're safe, and all of these terrible things are something outside of us, you know, it's way over there, but it's not.
Yeah.
And that's like driving me nuts. Like everybody, you know, they're watching the news and they're so concerned about, say, starving people or people in prison unjustly, 5,000 miles away, yet their own damn neighbor is homeless and begging for a meal, or the children are starving right in their own damn neighborhood, people are dying in their own damn neighborhood, and there is zero concern for what's right in front of our faces. So
that's one thing that I'm really excited about, because like, what's going to trend in the latter half of this decade is community service and a lot more like authentic activism, where people don't have to put it on social media. It's not like it's not happening, but like that's going to actually become popular. So I'm actually excited about that. But the reason why is because, once again, like, there's just going to be a lot more craziness. It's just going to, it's like, you know that sense of pretentiousness, or like the real threat that you can watch calmly from a computer screen. Like you said, it's so far away from you.
Yeah.
Well, like post 2023, it literally comes through your computer screen into your front door.
Right, right. It's all, like you mentioned before, movies and everything, movie that's been out there since the 70s, at least. You know, it's, they're all coming true. Like The Walking Dead, like all the shows they have out there. Like it all, everything is in place. And I honestly can't believe that people still can't see it. You know, whether Divergent or The Giver or Hunger Games. I mean, come on. Like it's right here in front of your face. We're playing video games that mimic what's going on outside our door, yet we're not walking out our door and seeing that it's actually going on right now. So maybe it's not till 2023 where people see it, but it's alive and well right now.
And I guess it's important to acknowledge, it's not like there are people who don't see it, because there's a cyclical nature. It's like, you know, every now and then a batch of people get it and they go through it. But I think what we have lacked for decades is like an event that brings us all together, that forced, it's an event bigger than what we're doing that forces us to reevaluate everything we know. And that is what is on the horizon. Like it, I don't think it's almost going to be like a thief in the night where this comes. It's going to really shock and impact humanity. It's like, I'm not going to say this is what's going to happen, but the best example is if there was an alien invasion, like if there was some type of extraterrestrial contact, that's the only thing that's outside of having to go to work in the morning, having to go to school in the morning, that's going to actually force everyone to think, are we divided, or how do we like deal with this as a world?
Right. And you know, when the veil really is removed, they're going to see that the aliens were here the whole time.
The whole time, yes. I always say the invasion isn't going to happen from above, from within you.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
that was well said.
Here's a couple questions in the chat that are kind of related to what we were just discussing regarding world events, or what, you know, things that might be similar to things of the past. They say Deagle.com prediction of 2025 U.S. population decrease of more than 225 million based on astrology. That might say is, or have you heard of that prediction? I guess we'll start there. But, and if the commenter can clarify, does that mean 225 million less or 225 million total? And are you asking if that prediction was based on astrology? So let's just skip that until they can clarify, so we don't just end up talking, you know. But and then when we were talking about like the planets and stuff, somebody brought up the question, could it be, and this was in relation to when we were talking about the wars and the different transits that just kind of are, and that's the way it is. They asked, could it be because the controllers follow the planets?
Mm.
I think that's an awesome question.
The way that stuff is orchestrated?
Yeah.
So, you know what's so fascinating? This is one thing that I want the research I do subsequently and that has been done to kind of show, because you can't, like, some people do kind of look at it to where, like, people orchestrate events by controlling stuff with astrology, but I really feel it's the other way around. I feel like we play it out, because it's almost like how you were saying, where you experienced, like, the transit, and then the store closed down. It's like, there's so much insight alone with the planets. I really feel more so it's usually the case of the planets of life imitating the transits than it being a troll. But it's not to say that it's impossible too.
Right. Yeah. No, I totally hear that. I'm just wondering if the reason for that question is because when people talk about biblical prophecy, my experience or opinion on it is that it's actually a script, and that's what gets us to accept certain things. And, you know, it's a possibility that, you know, that's the script that the controllers follow. So I think maybe they might have been asking that. But I love your answer, because that's exactly what's happening. In fact, it goes even beyond that, because we're all archetypes of something. Look at any type of mythology of any religion or belief system in history, and they all relate to the planets. And then if you read any of their, what were told, or myths or stories, you can clearly look back in history and see all of that played out right here. And, you know, not to sound like a, what do you call it, a fishtard, a delusional Pisces, but I actually see how people are aspects of these, we'll say, mythological deities with
aspects,
the same
archetypes.
Yes, with the same influence or powers of the planets that they align with. And, dude, I literally lived in a place with Pan. And let me tell you, Aphrodite is my family name. Okay? That's not a coincidence.
I just saw a video the other day that said that Pan, or Hermes, used to be Pan.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing, Jesus, right? We could say that name, or we could talk to somebody else down the street, and they have a different name because of a different belief system that they all grew up. But they're all the same stories, right? They're different words or different understandings, because we're so segregated by language or geography or internet censorship, right? Like, China can't go on Facebook with us, or North Korea, or, you know what I mean? So we're not, even though we're super connected, we're actually super segregated. And I've traveled a lot, and even if you travel just in this country alone, there are multiple different cultures. And even amongst, you know, so-called boring white America, there's still different cultures. They're, you know, like, go talk to a Cajun, right? And then go talk to a dude in Tennessee, and then go to California, and then go to Minnesota. And so there's all these micro cultures within each culture, so to speak. But I see all of these micro cultures playing out as aspects of these divinities, these gods, these demigods ruled by these planets that all of our beliefs call them different names, or completely demonized to begin with. And I, oh man, when I was living off-grid, and I built my own place in the mountains and stuff, like, it literally, I slept on the ground, and lots of things came to me and became clear to me. And I even expressed this to somebody else that was on the farm that was trying to understand it. And I'm like, dude, do you know anything about mythology? He's like, well, a little bit. And I'm like, okay, well, have you heard of this person or that person or this person? Where are they from? What are they famous for? What are known for? Like, look what's going on. That's Pan. You know? And it even made sense to him. And he was like a normal, he wasn't a weirdo like us, you know? So that's kind of how I see it. So is that completely, totally fishtard or what?
I mean, when you put it like that, I could definitely see the fish tartedness in it. Oh, yeah. But, which is amazing, because the picture of a Pisces is looking me dead in the eye, making that statement even more ironic.
That's me and my evil fish tart eye. Like, wait, what? You said what? Oh my goodness. Yeah, no, I understand. I kind of see life in a different way, but to me, learning more about astrology and mythology, I think can really help us understand things. Like I said, I really think when people are watching TV and playing video games and watching movies, that's actually what we're living. It's the news is the fiction and the science fiction is the news or History Channel.
Crazy?
It's like it's the History Channel or yeah, it, it took me a minute to figure that one out. Okay, so I did get a clarification on that. Where did it go? Okay, so they the Dr. Deagle or whatever Deagle prediction of the 2025 U.S. population, we're supposed to have 225 million less. He's asking, is that based on astrology?
Okay, that's a really good question. Personally, I feel that around then, there is going to be a mass extinction event.
Right.
I didn't, so that is a detail that kind of makes me think twice about it. I don't know if that is based off of astrology. I'm not really sure. I wouldn't be surprised. But around that time, Pluto is going to be in Aquarius, and Neptune is going to shift into Aries. And that's going to denote such a shift in consciousness that I really honestly wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all if there was that much less. This is like the extremity of what we're shifting into. And that's why I also said, like, it's the beginning of the end.
Well, okay, so when you said 2023 is the beginning of the end, can you elaborate on what specific planetary transits denote that possibility?
I think that you can take this as speculation.
Of course.
So in my opinion, I do feel what makes it the beginning of the end is Pluto is finishing out a cycle. So let's say it starts at Aries. Once you have planets transiting Aquarius and Pisces, it's nearing the end before it restarts it. But also, you know, if we look at where society is headed compared to last time that it cycled here, I really feel this is where we're going to see certain prophecies, both biblical and arcane, kind of come to pass. It's definitely going to be a period where we kind of now, if we take into the meaning of Pluto and killing and transforming,
ending certain societal norms and labels where just due to the consequence of there being more population and people kind of interbreeding, I don't want to say breeding, but, you know, connecting in cultures, like, we're going to have to move away from this segregated sense of, like, oh, I'm this nationality, you're this right. nationality. And it's, like, kind of stepping into that Age of Aquarian ideal of really seeing outside of one's race or gender or nationality. And also, though, to be a bit more kind of relevant, unfortunately, it almost does feel like there might be more of terrorist activity and extreme events, maybe not for that long, but I kind of do get the sense that, you know, the rising statistics of this, I mean, we did have a year where there was a shooting every day, mm-hmm. and you know, it's not getting significantly better. No. That's because it's slowly climaxing. And so, like, if you think about what we've considered weird, everything that society has labeled as too much or extreme, you really want to take note of that over the next few years and see how it's progressively getting more and more extreme. Like, there's stuff that happens now that we think is normal that was not normal, like, years ago. So what we're stepping into is the peak state of this, where, like, the peak state of what we thought was weird is about to be the norm. Right. And that's going to drive people so much more crazy, and suicide rates are already high. Right. So I don't want to say this is like a prediction as much as it is just more like noticing the trends, and at right. least we know Pluto is timing this, and Saturn as well, which just completed a cycle and is getting ready to complete another one. So
okay. It's both. Oh, sorry. I just want to clarify, just in case people don't know about astrology and the planets and their transits. So can you just briefly, like, how long is a Pluto transit so people can kind of put a grasp on how long it takes to go from Aries to Aquarius?
Great question. So Jupiter cycles the signs every 12 years. Saturn cycles the signs every 28 years. And Pluto cycles it every 248 years. So I think it's going to take around like 20 years for it to go to a sign. It went through Scorpio from 84 to 95. It went through Sag from 95 to 2008. It's gone through Capricorn from 08 and will leave 2023, but officially 2026. And then 2026 to around 2048 is the Aquarius season Pluto. So the thing with predictions or kind of like noting this is we have to open up possibility and potential. It's not, I don't really believe things are fixed. Us as mutable signs, we see that everything is possible. Right. So we can literally walk into an age where we're all connected and we really finally manifest the utopian era with the futuristic technology, and we're a one world government where we're all connected and we have one currency, and you don't need passports or boundaries or borders because we've gotten it. Or, you know, Pluto in Pisces 2048 could very realistically be a post-apocalyptic age where nuclear war has wiped out almost everybody.
Right. Well, okay, let's like talk reality, like mainstream. I don't remember if it was Forbes or Time or something like that, but I posted an article recently where they were saying in 2050, like 70% of births will be in artificial wombs.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And AI is going to be like on a whole nother level too, which is another Aquarian theme, artificial intelligence, technology. Right. But that is fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll find it at some point because it's in one of my groups on Facebook. I believe it's Questions You Are Not Allowed to Ask is the name of the group. And yeah, I had to make that because I kept getting in trouble for asking questions in other groups. So I'm like, fine, burn me, that's cool. I'll go over here and play with the other weirdos. So we're allowed to ask any question in there. But yeah, I posted that in there. But it was mainstream. And again, it's when it goes back to the movies, right? It's been in all the movies and all the books and every other... So when I started back in radio, I was talking about sex trafficking, okay, vaccines, autism, HPV, like all of these things that are common knowledge now, and like household knowledge. But I was burned for it because I, you know, was early, I guess. And things that my grandmother told me as a child that my mom or other people thought she was crazy for. And by the way, she was a Virgo with a Scorpio moon. She, you know, everything she said came to be. And I'm talking conversations from 8 years old. So, and I kind of want to, all right, so I'm going to bring this up. I have a friend who's in the chat, and he told me about an incident that happened, and because he wrote in the chat, 1985 plus 40 equals 2025, just saying. So, and I have to be honest, I feel like things are coming to a close, and that's in a lot of ways. But it's not really a close, it's an opening, because the masks are off, the veils are being removed, and things that have been hidden are going to be totally in our face. And so he had an incident in 1985, I think he was in Italy or something, and it was like what he described as his only maybe supernatural or unexplained experience in his life at the time. And he said that these two men in black with like hats and stuff appeared. I guess he was in a bar or eating or something like that. I'm sorry, I don't remember all the details. But they appeared and then just like looked at him and said 40 years. And oh, that just gave me chills.
Oh, wow.
And that was it. And so 40 years, which he's been actually thinking about. He's in his second Saturn return right now, by the way. So, yeah. Oh, my God! And you guys are the same card, my Six of Diamonds, now that I remember.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, and sorry, I don't remember the whole story, but it was literally, they just told him 40 years, that was it. And so it's kind of been haunting him, and especially now in his Saturn return. So when we were kind of talking about that, and I just want to, let me correct myself. I didn't know what the Deagle thing was. So I am being told it's not Dr. Deagle, it's Deagle.com, which is supposed to be an info congregation military site. So whatever. Anyways, I'm not a doctor, not anything I know anything about, and clearly not an astrologer. So, all right. Yeah, I don't know, but I know he's made some amazing changes in his life. So what that means for, is it just for him? What does that mean? Maybe that's the best year of his life, right? Maybe it is the end of his life or the end of all life, or, you know, we're obviously not going to know until we get there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it obviously meant something. And that was when you said 2025. So if everything's changing in 2023, and it's quite possible. I don't know, but I am going to admit, I do feel that something is looming. That is one of the reasons why I chose to take that loan and get a house in a location where at least I have a good view or a fighting chance if there was such a thing, right? Yeah. So, I don't know. Either way, you know what? Let's schedule a show for January 1st, 2026.
And then, that's a great idea.
Okay. All right. So now here's, I want to get back to questions in the chat. And Liz, do you need to take a break? Because, you know, you need to go potty or get a drink or whatever.
Nope.
We can do that.
Not at the moment. But thank you.
Okay. All right. Seriously, just let me know. Because I'm enjoying just free-flowing and going without that, but I also don't want to overwork you. Okay. So one of the questions was, is it true that everyone has a different sign than what they think because of the progression of the stars?
Is it true that what?
That everyone has a different sign than what they think because of the progression of the stars?
Yeah, that's a very classic question. So it's very amazing because that very question in and of itself only exists because of disinformation about astrology and because people who shouldn't be talking about astrology are teaching people about astrology. So like that whole argument about that is said by people who do not read charts for a living. They do not have consultations. They're not even in the world of astrology, so they probably read it from an article. And it's literally like me not knowing the periodic table, but then writing articles about how chemistry isn't right. So I have to say that first, because right. When you hear news like this, you just assume that it's coming from experts and people who know what they're doing, and that's not the case. So once again, like, the reason why people think that their sign is different is the same reason why you see these stupid articles and people who are not astrologers saying that Ophiuchus is the 13th zodiac sign.
Right.
Ophiuchus is a constellation, okay? And the constellations are named after zodiac signs, but zodiac signs are not constellations. So I think this is one of the best questions that were asked, because the reason why people think their sign has changed is because there's a wobbling effect of the sun and also the movement of the actual constellations. This is called the precession of the equinox. So based on the sidereal system of astrology, if you were to look up your quote-unquote Vedic chart or your sidereal chart, the precession has precessed around 23 degrees. And you have to bring the planets that you have or the degrees that you have, every part of the chart, back 23 degrees. The reason why you don't have to do this, and the reason why this is erroneous to assert, is because zodiac signs are not based on constellations. There was a time when, before the advent of science and greater technology, the Romans, the Greeks, like, they assumed that it was constellation based because this was still a part of the time when it wasn't a constellation. However, once again, because the constellations actually shift, this is what's shifting. So once again, like, your sun, my sun, technically it's not in the constellation of Gemini or Virgo. Mine would be in Taurus, yours would be in Leo perhaps, but that's not what makes you your sign. And that's the most important thing that I could ever say. Right. There's the constellations that have the star patterns that has nothing to do with your zodiac sign. Your zodiac sign is your zodiac. The reason why there can only be 12 signs and no more than 12 is because your zodiac sign is based off of the 360-degree ecliptic path of the sun. It doesn't matter what anyone believes. You can believe in Islam. You can believe in Christianity. You can believe the earth is flat. It doesn't matter. The sun is still going to move a degree every day. And the equator of the earth and its interception with that path is what marks out the 12 signs. The zodiac is literally an imaginary space that maps out the system of our seasons that happen every 3 months. It's purely mathematical. So that's really all I can say. Like, if it's disinformation, like, people are made to believe it's attached to constellations. That's the way we're shown it. But, you know, that's why it's also wrong to say, like, I'm a Virgo or I'm a Gemini. It's not really wrong. Like, this is the language we speak. But, you know, for people who don't know astrology, it's going to be misleading because it kind of complicates things. But I'm so glad that that question was asked.
And I am so glad you answered it like that because, yeah, you really drew a picture for me. And that, what a great way to look at it. So it doesn't matter. Like, okay, so somebody came to me recently and said, oh, you need to look at Vedic astrology. You're actually a Leo and everything's different. And I'm like, oh my God, no way. Let me, you know, I'll look at this. But, right, you know, the bottom line was that, like you said, it doesn't even matter what we call it. We could call it Virgo. We could call it weirdo. We could call it beet juice. It's the transits and the angles and our position of the planet, our syllabus, right, is kind of what I refer to as the chart that actually matters. So that, oh man, I love how you explain that. Thank you.
It could be a huge barrier to entry because if you, I didn't always understand that too, but learning that helped me understand, like, it's not something that's debatable, you know, it's very much so factual. It's something that happens every day.
So it's kind of like everything else, religion, mythology, politics. It doesn't matter what word you use, Virgo, Gemini, Cancer, whatever. It's at the end of the day, your chart is still, you still have the same angles. You still have, that's not going to change. So,
right. Okay. And that's astrology as a science. So then taking those facts and then reading your chart and then synthesizing that information to mean something personal to you, that's astrology as an interpretive art.
Beautiful.
Perfect. That's where we get magical with it.
Right. And you know, you actually answered another question that came up on the chat. But I'm going to read it anyways, just in case you have anything to add. But they said, I don't know anything about astrology except different groups do it differently. So how is it different to a religion? And yeah, like literally is right after that question was out there, you answered it while we were talking about the other, but is there anything else you want to add on that? Because I know we do have a lot of newbies and even people I personally know that I've encouraged to learn a little bit more about astrology. So we'll be gentle.
That's very amazing too. It's a very important question. A religion is a way of life.
Right.
Astrology is a tool. So astrology isn't something you can believe in, but astrology is something that a Muslim person can use as a tool. A Christian person can use as a tool. An atheist can use as a tool. A Hindu can incorporate astrology. That's why astrology has been preached as a religion by people who don't understand it, but it's not a religion. It's not something that you can believe in. It's a language that you speak.
That's another perfect answer. Awesome. Okay, so here's another novice question. They said, Anon, if you don't know your exact birth time, why bother?
Oh, that's a really good question. That is such a good question.
See, newbies are awesome. And that's why I think we should spend time. And yeah.
Yeah, like the birth time is the reason why you should still bother is the birth. Let's say you were setting a clock and you knew at least the hour, but you had to eyeball the minute, right? Or the second. So the birth time will let you know the minute and the second and the hour, but it's like setting a clock and you don't know that specific. So you're not going to have it exactly on point. Every time you tell time, maybe you're an hour off. Maybe you're 2 hours off, which is not the best. Like, you can probably miss a meeting. But the reason why it's still worth it is you're still in a general ballpark area. And the time of birth is really just going to let you know your rising sign and the exact degree of your moon sign. It is still so worth it
to pull up your chart if you don't know your birth time, because all the planets in your chart will be exactly the same. The only thing we don't know is where it's going to fall in your chart. But if you don't know your time of birth, your sun sign could be your first house. And you can still have very, I've given people super accurate readings without even having to know their time of birth, because I know their birthday.
Right. And, you know, this is kind of where science comes in again, because on observation and really looking at your chart anyways, when you know the characteristics of certain signs, or you know yourself and what's important to you, or even sometimes your family background, like oftentimes, you know, Libra ascendants have been adopted, or, you know, there's all sorts of different things, Pisces and ascendants and children and, you know, different upbringings. So you can, after time, kind of narrow it down. And there's someone in the chat saying, I have one document that says 3 a.m. and one that says 4 a.m. We'll do both. Look at both and see what fits, and then observe what's going on in your life, right? And the chart, and compare it. And I think we can kind of narrow it down pretty darn close.
Yeah. That's actually very important to knowing the influences around that, even if you don't know, like, the time of birth.
Right. And there's, I mean, I guess the more we experience, the more base of understanding there is to draw from. But I've seen, like, for example, me and someone else were literally buying a car, like, we didn't know, you know, the same thing, and, you know, it was both an hour away each places. We didn't discuss that on the same day, and they both ended up being lemons, and, you know, just, like, things like that. That's astrological. That's not coincidence. And if you have someone in your life that, you know, there's a lot of similar things, and maybe you don't know anything about astrology or your chart, start with what you know. Just look up the planets, like he said, and look at, you know, are they squaring each other? Are they opposing each other? Are they start there? And I think in time, by listening to people like The Peace Dealer, and check him out on YouTube if you haven't already, The Peace Dealer, and his website is thepeacedealer.com, and he offers consultations and readings and all sorts of different services. And you're also on High Vibes TV. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yes. Shout out to High Vibe Television. I do also upload content on there as well. It is a collective of gifted practitioners, and I'm actually excited to see how much more we can connect and go events together. But I am also on High Vibe. If you want to check me out there, I put up weekly horoscopes on there.
And is it mainly astrologers, or are there other types of arts in the collective?
Are there other type of arts? I'm sorry, what was that?
Are there other types of arts in the collective? At High Vibe TV, is it mainly all astrologers, or are there other types of services and arts being shared?
No, great question. I believe we do have tarot mainly. Okay. We do have an astrologer with an emphasis on health. He has a degree, too, in not chemistry, but biology. And he does special, like, health horoscopes. We have an energy healer in the clique. And we do have a human design expert, I believe, as well. So, yeah.
All right. Here's a question. This is somebody that's obviously seen your channel. They say, how did he come up with the idea about how the signs wake up and what they do when you leave them alone in the room?
Of course, yes.
So yeah, that is definitely someone who's seen your channel. So I think it's a good question. No, silence. Uh-oh. Are you
my
there?
My apologies. Uh-oh. My mic hit the mute button. So
yeah, that's a fair question. So.
Oh, that was the real... Oh, okay.
It was
okay.
An actual real question. Yeah.
Oh, my God. How can I tell when they wake up and what they do when they're alone? Honestly, I just have a group meeting with the signs archetypalized, and they tell me these things. I'm truly their messenger.
Right. See, so we are little segments or aspects of these archetypes, whether we can call them planetary or deities, because really, if you look at all religions, they're all the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not all religions, not the modern.
And that's where, like, your religious path is going to color and influence how you see astrology. If you're religious and you believe in gods, you're going to incorporate that in astrology. If you're atheist and you don't believe in gods, you're not going to see the planets as gods. You'll see them as planets. So, that's also a great point, too.
Right. Okay. Okay, so we kind of talked about, like you mentioned, flat Earth, and then somebody kind of brought up the progression of planets, and then, of course, we had, you know, the whole 13th planet thing, and, you know, so astrology's all bogus. But then there's also, you know, our calendar, and things weren't always what it is today, right? And we have 13 moons, so there's many beliefs that would argue there should be 13 months. So how do these possibilities or realities affect astrology as a science, or does it?
Multiple possibilities?
Well, yeah, like a 13th planet, does that change everything? Or,
That's a great question. Pluto, Uranus, Neptune, they weren't always seen as, they weren't even recognized recently. Like, there was a time where astrology was done without them. So it's amazing how you said, like, if there's a 13th planet, I don't know if you meant sign, but like, astrology can account for like new discoveries.
Sorry. And also, I am so sorry. I totally meant to, yeah. Okay. I said that wrong. Yeah.
No, but it's a good question you ask, because, like, how does it... I know there is, like, 13 moon cycles, I think, in a year, too, but...
Right.
Yeah,
And I remember back in the 80s, I just want to say, like, because my grandmother, you know, was highly involved, and she would clip articles and stuff, and one of them, if I remember correctly, it was 84 or something... And they said there was another planet then, and astrologers were saying that they believed it was the true ruler of Virgo, which some were calling Vulcan. And, like, the article about the planet was in mainstream news, but I haven't, like, heard any references to that. But back in the 80s, astrologers were saying, you know, that was Virgo's true ruler. So if that was true, then would that change things?
No, that's a really great point. That's a really great point. And I'm a little bit open about that because, you know, Pisces' ruler used to be Jupiter. And right. Scorpios really used to be Mars. So right. I kind of feel like Virgo was done the same way. Like, well, we don't know. We know Mercury is Gemini, but we don't know what to give Virgo. Well,
so we'll see,
the only thing.
Stick us with you.
Same with Taurus and Libra. They both
right.
got Venus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Why can't we have our own planet, man?
I think you do have your own planet. That's the beautiful thing. The only thing is, like, you can definitely see a mercurial influence on Virgo, but I truly believe that it's another planet. It's another energy. Some people say Chiron, too. But
okay. Check this out. Somebody on the chat said, Christy, Virgo doesn't have a ruler. You certainly don't. Boom.
Oh,
I like that.
There we go.
That's definitely a good way to look at it.
And it's the only humanoid that we have as a symbol there. Gemini and Aquarius, too, but they're more like celestials instead of like real humans.
Yeah, I'm thankful for my Virgo because I'm definitely real human. The rest, I still have no clue. I would not.
That's how.
I wouldn't even pass a multiple choice test. Who are you? F.
I feel like that's how y'all feel about everyone else in the zodiac. Like y'all are the only real people, and everyone else is like a beast or a mythical being or
okay,
just like
that's true. I will definitely admit to that. I do feel that way. I do feel like the only real human sometimes. But, you know, then I go fished hard and Sag, and then, you know, I'm a mythical creature too, and try to forget my human woes until I wake up again cussing, because I hate that.
Right.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Okay, so, all right, so with the, because I think it was like 2012 or 13, and I was in radio and we're doing, you know, talking about astrology and obviously more basic things than we're talking today. Because we scratched over the whole, this is what a chart is, and this is what the first house is. And, you know, and that's kind of why I encouraged you all last night to go to astro.com and familiarize yourself, because I kind of wanted to talk more about, you know, awareness of how it, you know, plays a role in our lives, whether we want to or not. And as you have so eloquently stated multiple times, no matter what your religion is or isn't, it doesn't matter. The planets are, and they are transiting no matter what. And
right.
We're practicing astrology when we're checking the fishing guide to go clam digging. So, but in 2012 or 13, I can't remember the exact date, but that's when it came out really big, like, oh, ha, 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 here's this 13th sign, and, you know, everything you thought you knew about astrology is totally bogus, and...
Right.
Yeah, so I didn't, and there were people that actually came out within the military infotainment complex that positioned themselves as experts that were vetted by other strangers that were promoted
Thank you.
To be experts that were vetted
it's
by
on,
other strangers.
It's on NASA. If you go to NASA right now, they have disinformation about astrology. And, like, if you ask any of them to pull up a natal chart and give a reading, they will not know what to do.
But, that's again, they know how to tell us where the tides are going to be.
Right.
So somebody's messing with astrology.
And that's really where I want to get conspiracy, because this isn't the first time you've seen an article come out and say there's a you know, when you read these articles, they're always like it's a new scientific discovery.
Yeah.
But they've been saying it's a new discovery since the 90s. And that's because they want to purposely confuse people about astrology. Because this is the type of thing that if it does go mainstream, it could really alter the way people think about a lot.
Absolutely. Okay, so I also kind of want to bring up the whole flat Earth thing is kind of a big deal in a lot of areas, and I don't have an opinion either way. I think they're good questions to ask, because we always should be asking ourselves, why do we think we know what we know? And can we prove any of it anyways? So, you know, one thing I know is I'm not going to kill my neighbor over a differing opinion, because I personally don't care. It's all interesting, and I'm glad that people are asking questions, and there's even some, you know, convincing, you know, questions, really. But how... So if it really is a flat earth, or if you're looking in the Hebrew Bible, I took pictures of it. It shows a dome-like flat earth, the same thing they show in the Truman Show. And if all these other movies, or hey, what about Logan's Run, okay, or any other doomsday scenario or post-apocalyptic scenario, right? There's always like a dome, and hello, isn't the Jewish Bible like so? And I'm sure a lot of this stuff is put here to confuse us. But what if it really is a flat earth? Would that change what we think we know about the transits? Would it also make the planets flat? And I mean, what if it actually is a simulation screen? Like, what about that?
No, that's a really good question. So they're flat earthers that don't believe in space, and then they're flat earthers that believe the earth can be flat, and their astrology still applies. One of which is the dude who did Santos Bonacci. He's actually a flat earther who believes that astrology still applies, because it's not like the earth is flat. It's more like a spiral, kind of like a pound cake. And then some people believe it's a donut. Honestly, I don't subscribe to the theory, because you can take a telescope and see round planets, and it's just certain mechanics around eclipses where the shape of the eclipse would be flat if an Earth is flat. It's more to prove that it's not flat. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I still don't know that. Like, I still don't know for sure. I haven't gone out and seen the world is round. So, you know, someone asked me earlier, how do I know I'm not a robot? So.
That's a good question. So, what? Yeah. You mind answering?
Oh, God.
I think it's a great topic. Like, that we, it's a question we should all ask ourselves, really. That's, yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know.
You're like me. If we were like locked, like in Saturday school, in detention, and we were not allowed to leave until we passed a multiple choice about who we are, like, we still wouldn't even be able to pass, I don't think.
Yeah. not enough choices, or... And the answer's not there.
It's just not. Yeah. Oh my goodness, this is great. Okay, yeah. So I do want to say, if you have any questions or comments, actually, I haven't even checked it. There it is. Yeah, the phone number is 720-740-9229. That's 720-740-9229. And we talked about your music earlier, so I kind of want to bring you back there. Because just as you are a channel for the planets, you do that in more than just readings and just YouTube and High Vibe. You also do that through raps. So, what do you think? Should we play your song, Honesty?
Please.
All right. And then, yeah, we'll talk about it after. And I apologize, I have not figured out the glitch so that you're going to be able to also hear the song, but I guarantee it's going out over air and I can hear it, and I can kind of put the headset close to the mic and see if let's check it out. And I rhyme scheme.
I can't lie, got so much pride locked deep inside. I can't lie, even if I try, I can't lie just to get by, I'd rather die,
Most claim to be trill, but yet they just pretend to be. More claim to be real, but yet they lack integrity. Once they mention a deal, your friends turn to enemies. It's crazy what these people do just to be celebrities. I bare my soul to give you a clear message. Got a lot of heart, but at times I'm a bit reckless. Sometimes I feel fearless, sometimes I'm insecure. Sometimes I act grown, and sometimes I'm immature. People used to tell me I'm soft, and it was my vice. I pissed off my homie my senior year and ran from the fight. They cried like a little girl, lame is part of my life. But I'd rather admit that than act hard every night. What's the price of fame? Would you sell your soul for some ice? Adoration from many fans and endorsements from Sprite. Lying lips are an abomination in this crooked nation. Judgment day coming soon and I ain't playing. That's why I can't lie, oh no. Even if I tried, oh no. I can't lie, got so much pride. Lies deep inside, oh, oh, oh. I can't lie, oh no. Even if I tried, oh no. I can't lie, just to get by. I'd rather die. Lowest is the highest, the highest is the lowest. See the truth I've been supplying, and you ain't even know it. I ain't talking about my poems, I'm talking about my life. I don't know about Jesus, but I know about the Christ. Some of these rappers I never really get, cause they as honest as words from politicians' lips. You mean to tell me you the hottest in the biz, but you can't be a parent to your kids? Think about it, how you like the realest if you gotta lie about it? I don't need the fame,
I'll be good without it.
Say that money ain't nothing, but I really doubt it, cause of how you acting out, and that's all you talk about. But the blame isn't rap, it's society. Economic vultures still preying on your piety. But what's left of it, feeling so deranged. Wonder if I get this cash, will I really change? But
I can't lie, oh no. Even if I tried, oh no. I can't lie, got so much pride locked deep inside, oh, oh. I can't lie, oh no. Even if I tried, oh no. I can't lie just to get by. I'd rather die, oh, oh.
I love it. That is Rhyme Scheme. You can find on SoundCloud. Peace Dealer, thepeacedealer.com is the website. And you can also find him on YouTube, The Peace Dealer. He does astrological readings, reports, consultations. And then High Vibe TV. You do weekly transit reports over there?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right, so tell us about that song. When did you write it, and what was the inspiration?
That's a really great question. That was for my second album. I wrote that in 2014 when my mom sent me to live with my uncle in Kansas. So I really came up with that while I was in his house, or like I think the bottom. I was actually going to the KU at the time too, but yeah, that was right before I changed my channel, or that was right before I changed my channel to the Peace Dealer, and like really ended up going to Cali to start my journey. But yeah, it's really amazing that you say that, because like at the time it was just a song I wrote. Like I thought up of the concept, and I just that really just flowed out of me. It was one of those songs that kind of wrote itself and didn't take over like 10 minutes to write.
Wow. Isn't that how it goes? Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. There, you need that inspiration and that something, and then it just flows.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing I love about your excuse me, transit talks and stuff. Sometimes you open with a little rap, and just having fun, being a weirdo, going all fished hard, and but what you're channeling is, again, always what's actually going on.
Yeah. That's definitely one of the songs I feel spirit flow through me. I can say predictably, ironically, they're also the songs where I'm not cursing in them, but it's like those songs just write themselves. It just kind of flows. It's like, wow, this is really amazing.
Right. When did you realize you had a talent? And if you were already writing music, why were you so scared to sing to us on YouTube?
Oh, okay. Well, see, I like to rap because I feel like I don't really have to sing, really. I've just always been shy, like, expressing myself on that level. So I guess I like to rap because I get to mask that, or it's definitely more of a change of pace. As a Gemini, I get to talk smack. The rapping is also poetry, but yeah, I mean, singing, I don't know. I've just been, that's a really good question. I guess it's a lot of mental blocks for sure, but yeah. I'm just going to say unnecessary shyness for sure.
Aww. So I'm going to bring up a question somebody asked earlier, and when we were kind of talking about how you were growing up and stuff, but they asked if you were bullied as a child, or let me find the exact. They said, did Peace Dealer get bullied in school?
That is something that to this day amazes me, because I've never really been truly bullied. I've been made fun of. I'm pretty sure I think the way I was bullied was more indirect, like people talking about me, but I think because of my appearance, until I opened my mouth, I don't think I looked like the type of guy that you wanted to mess with. So a lot of people would kind of, and then of course I'll talk and I'll be like, oh, this dude isn't like that at all.
All you gotta do is appear to be crazier than them and they'll leave you alone. I would so wish I would have learned that sooner. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's funny. Okay.
Yeah, or if I was getting made fun of, I was so oblivious to it, I wouldn't even know I was getting bullied.
I've never really seen, not to say it doesn't happen, but I haven't seen a lot of Geminis get bullied, you know, not as much as like Virgos or Pisces. And yeah. I haven't also seen a Capricorn get bullied. So you have
Capricorn
that.
Capricorn usually does the bullying.
Right. Okay. So. Okay. So. That was a good question, though, because I know in a lot of cases, you know, that's what kind of brings out people's talent. So I'm just guessing that that's where they were going with that. But, yeah, I just know, at least for me, like, those times of inspiration, like, I can go through periods where, oh, I have nothing, I have no talent, I have nothing. And then I get mad. Oh, man. I get mad, I let it rip, and then, boom, inspiration, I start producing, like, stuff flies out of my mouth, or I write things down and then I see it or hear it years later and I'm like, whoa. So that's cool, you don't have to kill anyone to be inspired. That's my point. No, I'm just kidding. Amen.
It's a funny joke, but I feel you. That's, yeah.
But I did go through a lot of bullying, and you know, not that it was, but yeah, so it wasn't until I started fighting back that I quit getting bullied. So yeah, bring it, like, mirror, mirror. All right. So, now I want to also, oh, okay. And Rhyme Scheme, you spell it R-H-Y-M-E-S-K-E-E-M. Is that right?
Yeah.
For SoundCloud. And you have, like, I don't know, at least a dozen tunes there, right?
Oh, yeah. I got some jams.
Okay.
I got two albums, two mixtapes, a compilation project, and three EPs.
Okay. So, do you mind kind of going back to some of the transits that... Because isn't there, like, a whole bunch of planets that are going to be in Capricorn coming up in December or something? Aren't we?
You know what?
A big
they're
show?
They're actually there now.
All of them are there now?
Yep.
Oh. Okay, so I'm bringing that up because, well, of course, you're in your Saturn return. I have several very dear people that I love very much that are in their second Saturn return, and many others either approaching it or just leaving it. So Saturn in Capricorn, can you kind of talk about, we've been going through this since, I guess, December. We're just talking specifically Saturn in Capricorn right now, since, I guess, December 18th-ish, 2017. And I know that'll be going retrograde, I guess May-ish or something, and or not retrograde, but it'll dip into Aquarius and then go back into Capricorn for the rest of the year. But Saturn in Capricorn can sometimes be viewed at as very tough. And of course, on an individual level, it, you know, depends on where you're being aspected and such, so we obviously can't go into that individually, but on a collective level, what does Saturn in Capricorn bring?
It wants to make everyone its slave and have a job and work and be productive. But it brings legitimacy and it brings real authority and it brings necessary changes to our structure and systems, because we also have to think that Capricorn is the completion of a cycle. It's our 10th zodiac sign, so at one level it's Saturn and Cap, but it's also completing a Saturn cycle, which I'm biased because I have it in my chart, but I think it's really incredible.
Right, because, well, Saturn is kind of viewed negatively, and Capricorn is often, although Capricorn in its, I guess, positive side can make a great father, and if there was a fair judge, you know, the dark side, you know, definitely slave owner.
Oh, yeah.
I've worked with a few Capricorns, and they, you know, but... There are lots of good things that it can bring, too, right? Like truth. And, you know, it's not all dark and negative. So what are some of the things that, I mean, obviously the last couple years hasn't been easy for a lot of people. And a lot of things have come out. But also what I've seen is masks have come off in a lot of places. Saturn, what I've observed, has it, when it came in this time around, it was like screw you, you're cool. It was kind of like everybody who had intentionally harmed someone in the past transit, like karma came in, or Saturn came in and kind of gave them a taste of their own medicine. Whereas people who were true to themselves, Saturn kind of came in and said, good job, thank you. So,
I agree.
Okay. So this transit, it's been tough times and all of these things going on politically and such, but it's Saturn in Capricorn isn't all bad. I don't think we should fear it at all.
No, I think it's actually the greatest thing that's happening right now, because it's rewarding those with integrity.
Right.
And it's putting in check those that have no integrity. So yeah, it's totally, it could be difficult, you know, especially to the ego, but yeah, I think it's necessary. Definitely.
Yeah. It's been really crazy interesting to observe, and in fact, like, people who personally, you know, did terrible things ended up, you know, to help facilitate where I was, right, unable to talk or walk, without an income, homeless. You know, that wasn't easy, but they kind of magically ended up in that position. And what was really crazy is my homelessness officially ended the literal exact day that Saturn went into Capricorn. And from
That's
there...
That's wild.
The exact day. That's why I know it. Which is crazy, because it was also the exact day that I had left my home, was it 4 years before, thinking that I was only going to take a 30-day soul journey break. So... It's interesting to watch. So I just kind of wonder, with all the planets in Capricorn, or all the major ones at the same time, what can we expect throughout the rest of this year astrologically?
That's such a good question. So 2020 is really just preparing us for the new wave. 2020, 2021, 2022. 2021, 2022 is when Jupiter and Saturn officially, you know, kick open the door for our collective, and we start to see, you know, newer knowledge, the greatest advancements of technology we've seen in a while. And this year is that last year. It's like preparing everyone to decide on who they are. And that makes sense, because there's an election happening, and nothing more does that than politics, where people pretend to know what's what so that they can get your votes and pander to you.
Right.
And then recycle again. But I mean, the elections are going to be some of the best. This elections and next elections, and also
the best, like, as in professional wrestling, or
oh yeah, exactly, okay.
Or like the third overtime of, you know, playoff game.
Yeah. If you ever wanted to tune in for drama and epic, you know, seriousness, this one and the next one are going to be perhaps the most controversial elections of all time.
And some people have been saying for a long time that we're not even going to have elections and blah, blah, blah. What if we don't have elections? Like, I mean, is that even a possibility?
2020, it's for sure happening. It's destined to happen. 2024, that is very possible. Like, if people, like, that's the thing, like, 2024 is 4 years away, but this period we're entering to is characterized by instant, sudden changes that can change everything. Revolution. Like, who saw revolution coming? It just happens. Who saw the guillotines coming? So this year we're having elections, but 2024, if a third party candidate doesn't win, it's very possible that, you know, a Republican or Democrat can win, but I can totally believe that something happens to where we can't have an election.
Yeah,
it's really, and you know, the rest of this year is going to prepare us for that reality. That one thing I can promise is what we've assumed was real and what we assumed this world was, we're going to realize it's not at all. And it's going to force everybody to look at each other as more than just like a face and a name, but to acknowledge them as a spirit and a soul.
Okay, how close are we astrologically, possibly, just looking at planets on paper, all right, to say 1984? And why do you think they would choose the year 1984 to write the book? I mean, not write it, but why did they set it in 1984?
Which is a very, you know, book ahead of its time as far as, like,
how on point a lot of it was. You know what's amazing? I love you right now, because 1984 was the last time the North Node was in Gemini. And, okay, it wasn't the last time the North Node was in Gemini, but, wait a minute. Yeah, it was definitely, like, one of the second to last cycle, if not the last cycle, because, it's what, 2020, so that means 2000, yep. So, we're revisiting this energy, which is fascinating.
Didn't E.T. come out in 1984?
I believe so. Uranus was on the South Node in Sagittarius, which is freaky because, wait. You know, wow. for a book to be written about that before that date, this type of energy can almost support, like, precognition and also prediction, but also time travel. But not like someone physically time traveling, but like unknowingly gaining insight. So,
wow.
But I love you so much right now, because to compare now to 1984, there's a direct link with this North Node that's getting ready to, that's the most epic thing about this year. The South Node is going to be in Sagittarius, and that is literally going to change everything. There's going to be so much rapid changes, and there's going to be greater truth that's birthed, so much getting exposed that has been in the works for the last couple of decades. It's going to begin to redefine what we know as truth, while Saturn and Jupiter are going through Aquarius and making us more aware of how to perceive extraterrestrial and extra-dimensional influences.
That's awesome. I am so glad that you knew that. And that's my North and South Node.
Natal,
by the way. And
so you're coming into a nodal return.
I remember that to be a pretty crazy and transitional time. It was also a time, where things like E.T. were totally normal. I guess I should just leave it at that. I used to talk about that in my old Truth Brigade shows. But that's interesting. You brought up, like, the alien and the technology, because there were things that children were being trained for on military bases that were related to that. In my very, own neck of the woods. So it's crazy because there's nothing that they do that's accidental or even if it is, or we think something seemingly coincidental in our own lives, like say we have no conscious knowledge of why we're doing something when we're doing it. If we look back, we can see astrologically there's a reason. So, whether it was coincidence or purposeful, I just kind of always thought that there was a reason that they chose 1984 of the year. Okay, so here's another hypothetical question. And a lot of religionists believe that there's going to be peace on Earth. And in fact, not just, New Agers are religionists as well. So if there ever was going to be a time on Earth of, say, 1,000 years of peace or something like that, what would that look like astrologically? And is there anything like that in the next 40 billion years that you can see by looking at a chart?
And could you ask that question one more time?
Yes. If there was such a thing as peace on Earth, what would that look like astrologically?
Great question. Peace on Earth looks like 2050, after humanity has made the decision of whether it wants to break through or pretty much destroy itself and restart the cycle. Because if we can make it past Pluto and Aquarius, then that means where we have matured at, like, and this is purely my opinion, but right. That's really what it comes down to. Everything that we've gone through as a collective was to prepare us for the next few decades where it's all going to come to a head now. And the whole lesson and test is, can we coexist as a humanity? Are we going to let labels tear us apart? And are we going to actually, you know, cooperate, or are we still going to play the same ego games? Because if we're not going to cooperate, then I'm almost sure that peace on earth that we're supposed to have is going to be a nuclear holocaust instead. Or just super strict, tight laws that will inevitably induce revolution. But if we can, and that's, see, I don't really like to ascribe to a fatalistic view of astrology where it's like all fixed. I really do believe it's possible for maybe a little bit of everything to happen. Like, maybe we do break through and we reach that utopian ideal that's for sure going to be around 2048.
Well, okay, and thank you for saying that, because I'm not trying to induce any types of feelings of fear. In fact, and honestly, I don't think anyone would ever listen to my show that believes in death, as we're taught it is. So, we're allowed to be weird. No, but these are lessons, again, this is school. And again, why we need to know astrology, in my opinion, and I want to hear your reasons as well, and I'll just simplify, I kind of said at the end of the show, is the way I look at a chart is it's your syllabus on your first day entering school. So your natal chart, so those, you can look at it, the 12 houses, like your classes, right? And what you're going to learn in each one. And, you know, you might go get a PhD or two or three. Some, you might only go around the transits once, right? And that doesn't mean that you've learned any less or, you know, so death for me, I don't think any of us should fear it. In fact, I've done shows in the past of making friends with death that you can find on my YouTube channel. So, and really, what it all boils down to, in my opinion, is knowing yourself better, understanding the lessons in your personal school, right? We're not all the same. And utilizing it to help figure out what you're doing here, right? Because, I mean, if you're not asking those questions, you're probably already one of the walking dead, okay? And if you are asking those questions and you don't know where to turn, astrology can help you. Like, I remember books I read 30 years ago. And when I, you know, figured out that there's more than just, you know, your sun sign, and I'm reading the other planets and the prenatal solar and lunar eclipses, and I'm like, wow, that's really cool, but that's not me. Oh, no, that's not my talent. I don't do that. Oh, I would never. Oh, no, I'm not. Right? And the older I got, the more true it became. And that same book that I still have, like, I can read it now, and everything is true. And I'm like, how did you do that? Like, it was there all along. But it also opened up my ability to be in those situations that I thought weren't me or for me, or that I had no talent at or whatever. And when they presented the opportunity, then I gave it a shot, right? Like, I wasn't supposed to be in radio. I wasn't supposed to be a photographer. I wasn't supposed to be whatever crazy traveler person thing I am or have become, you know, none of those were my plans, okay? So, but my plans were based on my programming, based on what society or parents or teachers or politicians or everybody else told me. So astrology can help us look outside that and know that there's something more. So, or also, again, like I joked earlier in the show, it'll keep you from killing yourself. Is, you know, you can, like, if you're going through, like, say, a terrible transit, like the ones I was going through, or, you know, someone else, a job loss, a divorce, a hurricane, your car breaks down, your best friend, but, you know, all at one time, like, that can really, really be taxing. But when you see that it's a temporary transit and there's nothing you can do, it truly is out of your control, okay? You do not control everything with your thoughts. There are things that are bigger than you, and that is part of our school. So they're teachers. And then when we start to look at it that way, we can find out who we really are and what we are doing here.
True that.
I'm sorry, and I went off on a rant. I was supposed to ask you to talk about it.
No, thank you. That was very well said. And I would say on the road to peace, like, everything that needs to occur to get to that place is happening right now. Like, that's really honestly the amazing part about these days and ages, because we're finally at the climax point. So it all depends on the work we're doing on ourselves and how much we make it count, which, yeah.
Right, make it count. And it is about living your own damn purpose, right? And I really appreciate how you encourage people to embrace their inner weirdo or fishtard and things like that. It is, because that's all it's about, right? Are you a clone or are you a human? Or do you want to live this life that was given to you, that whatever your divine purpose is, do you want to give that away because of what somebody else might think? Yeah. I mean, then who are you serving? You're serving your divine purpose, or you're serving the beast, right? By not doing that. Because everything about the beast, well, our teachers, right? Everything about them is designed to keep us away from ourselves. So I think what we're talking about here is promoting the desire to learn more about how great you really are. Because if you weren't, why would they hide this from you? Why would they bastardize and demonize astrology or even humanity? Or we can go deeper, even human emotions, right? Many of which are necessity. They feel like they need to force medicate or put you in prison for. So, yeah, I think that. So I want to hear in your words, because, yeah, why? Why do you think people should learn more about astrology and their own personal charts, at least?
That's such a good question. The thing about learning your chart is that... All
right. He's a Gemini. He's typing, talking, and thinking at the same time. Like,
I had to finish typing that real quick. All right.
He's probably combing his hair too.
I tried so hard.
You're doing great, man. I totally understand. I'm just saying, that's a Gemini. That's totally normal. So, like, people who that would normally, like, you know what I mean? And I think that's a perfect reason why we need to know, because then we can understand.
No, and definitely.
It helps me not get mad at people or myself.
So just to be sure, the question was, why should people read their chart?
Yeah, why should they learn more about astrology? Yeah.
If people honestly knew how essential astrology is, they wouldn't only read it every day. They would take into account a lot more. 'Cause there's a way certain people say things
and they say it almost as if you could read too much astrology. You cannot read too much astrology. It's impossible. Like, there's so much universe out there. Like, it's, there's no such thing as, like, being too much astrology.
Astrologers People, Anonymous.
right. My name is Michael, and I'm an astrologer. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Sorry.
But, like, the reason why it's essential is it's pretty much like hygiene. It's like you brush your teeth every day. You take a shower every day. If you feel like you need to watch the news every day and check the weather every day, you check the weather every day because you want to know the forecast. You want to know what's going to happen before you go outside. For that reason, you have to look at your birth chart. It's not only a syllabus. It's not only a snapshot of your birth, but it's a blueprint. It's a tool for self-discovery. And, you know, the more you read a book, the more you're going to understand the depth of that book. The more you read your chart, the more it's going to speak to you. So if you're super into self-discovery, that's one thing. But if you want to be in tune with the flow of the universe, it's a...
Right.
It is a must. And that's why I do what I do, because I should have been taught this in grade school, and it is not in curriculum. So until this is like norm, until first graders and second graders and third graders are learning this, that lets me know that the educators and people who are in position are ignorant about astrology. So we need to be in a position where, you know, we lessen this ignorance. I think it's something that's possible, but like, it's still not taken serious enough. It's something that people can just look at as if it's trivial. And that's just the lack of understanding. So until that is addressed, then I got to keep doing what I do.
Definitely. So I want to, I have a few more questions. Are you okay on time? And do you need to go to the bathroom, or you need a little break or anything? Or
I'm good. I can still talk.
Okay. All right. So I'll just keep going then. So, and you don't need a break. You don't need to get up and stretch your legs or.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So. You know, you used to do, like, three questions, you know, when you have guests on your peace talk. And by the way, there was a question in the chat. They asked, was your interview of me the most chaotic peace talk?
Oh, my God. That's one thing that I wanted to open the show out with, because even at the beginning, I can barely hear you. You were kind of going in and out, so... I was just like, I'm grateful for you because you show me about magic and how interference is real. Boy, were they trying to get in your way that day. Oh, my God.
That was
I love
rough.
How we never gave up, too.
Yeah. That. I wonder how many times I was disconnected. And then, like, blocked. Like, you don't have access. And I don't know. That was crazy. So,
to answer that question, then yes, you clearly, you undeniably were.
Yay. See, all, just like the sale of the house and everything else in my life, it's always extreme. And you know what? That's another reason I need to know astrology. So can you help out other people that may also have extreme things happen in their lives? Where would we look to our chart to look forward to maybe more extreme paths than others?
Where would you look forward?
Where would we look in our chart to, you know, because that's one thing that, again, that the numbers and astrology really helped me think, you know, realize that I wasn't being cursed, that this is just my path. So if somebody else out there is struggling and going through some super chaotic times, you know, like I did publicly, where could they look in their chart to help them understand more where that's coming from?
That's such a good question, because at one level you can isolate it, but I'm learning more and more. You always gotta look at it all holistically. You definitely want to see how everything plays in, because it's a question like that doesn't really have a simple answer, because you want to look at Jupiter cycles to see where in your Jupiter cycle you are. You want to see where Saturn is. You know, maybe Saturn is making a buttload of squares to other transits in your chart. And because everyone's chart is so different and transits are so different, it really literally depends on your chart and what's happening on that day. But for sure, look at the moon sign transits and your moon travel so quickly, that's going to give you the realest indicator, real time, of what's happening and when. So, and then also, you want to look at Mars too. That's going to let you know what you're acting on. So, yeah. Other than that though, you asked a really great question. I wish there was really like a definitive answer that I can give you, but there's really, you could really make the case for any point. And this is where,
good point.
You know, this is where if you're intuitive, this is where magic comes in. This is where if you're psychic, normally what certain psychic astrologers do is they let their intuition take over. And that's where you're going to know which planet to focus on or what you're drawn to.
Right. And yeah. But also probably if you have a lot of squares right off the bat, in your chart and oppositions, there might be a lot of internal wrestling and I guess that kind of compounds things, when we're in certain transits. Like for me, the three planets in my sixth, the three planets in my ninth, all mutable signs squaring my Saturn in my third, with Pisces. Squaring all of that and the ascendant, that's like my whole chart, most of it, right? There's a little Leo and a little Libra over there, but that's it. It's all that mutable square. So I think like squares don't help, because when you're going through transits, say like something's impacting my ninth house or my sixth house, you know, I have my sun, my Mercury, and my Mars. Those are times where I'm unable to walk or end up in the hospital or, you know, things like that. And so whereas I think if your planets maybe are spread out a little more, there's less of an impact when you have these major transits or alignments. I don't know. I'm full on fish tart, I guess. But squares don't help, I don't think. When it's coming to, you know, if you're comparing like an extreme life to a pleasant, comfortable life, like the squares, I think, kind of are at least one indicator that, you know, you're going to have some wrestling here.
And you know, some of the worst aspects can end up being like the best thing ever. So that's what also complicates things, like, right. Looking at taking too serious stereotypes about what's supposed to be good and what's not supposed to be good.
Right. I'm just trying to talk on the levels of extreme, because, you know, not everybody lives as extreme of a life as, you know, I have. Some people have called me Forrest Gump. I've been in a lot of the, you know, lots of people, lots of places, lots of experiences that are more than enough for a few lifetimes for, you know, the average person. So I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just, you know, a lot of people can't understand my extreme lifestyle. And then I finally had to throw in the hat with the house thing. It's like, okay, we all just need to calm down here. Would we ever expect anything less? So, it's, there's, So it's good for me because I kind of accept it, but you're so right. If you can, you know, the harder the lesson or the deeper, the further you fall, the more you have to climb or more ground to fly or, you know, the deeper you can swim correlate to the heights you can soar. So.
Amen to that.
Yeah, I don't mean it in, like a negative way. I just kind of wanted a little hope for people. A lot of people are going through some pretty extreme things right now. And I hope that we can help in some way. And honestly, that's the intent of every single show I do. And, you know, I think it's important for people to know that they're not alone and that they're are at least some kind of reasons, I guess, or things that they can look for to understand. Because, you know, I'm never going to forget my dark times where I believed that there was no way out. And, yeah, so I'm thankful, and I want others to know that there is a way out, and astrology can actually help you get past that by accepting things as they are, accepting your path as it is, instead of beating your head against a brick wall for trying to make someone love you or trying to make a job work or a location work or a career or, you know, any of that. I think that that helps us. And also astrologically, like geographically, aren't there, like, ley lines, so to speak? And aren't we better suited in different parts of the world, you know, due to those? I don't know what it's called. Not, like, ley lines.
Astrocartography.
There you go. Thank you. Astrocartography. So, yeah. I mean, how can knowing things like that not be beneficial to helping us make better decisions?
Nice. I mean, I feel like you answered that. I feel like it can't do anything but help. So right. I'm really just more excited about the awareness that's going to finally come now that we have technology to support it, you know, like we can up and have this amazing conversation where before that might have been difficult, and we can spread the word.
Oh, it was difficult last week. I had so much to learn. No, I'm just, okay. So oh my gosh, what was the other? There was another thing I wanted to ask. And by the way, if you did, you know, how you did your three questions and stuff, if you have any questions for me, like, totally feel free, because I'm just enjoying the free flow discussion and stream. So, but also don't feel like you have to either, you know. Just kind of giving you the floor. But, all right. So, what was the other, thing about that I thought was important to address? Oh, okay. This, the eclipses. There are a lot of people that believe the eclipses aren't real. And again, kind of going back to the dome thing, maybe theory or, but eclipses in astrology have proven, at least to me, to be valid and important on many levels. And you touched on earlier, talking about things that happen now, you know, actually started 6 months ago. So, but then there's that line of thought that says eclipses aren't even real. So can you address that topic, how crucial or not eclipses are in astrology? And if they aren't even real, does that take away its validity?
Yeah, if eclipses aren't real, it totally takes away its validity. But thankfully, we know that's hogwash, and eclipses are super real. Like, we know that because we can see them. But I do feel eclipses are over. I feel like now that astrology has been a bit more popular, certain things are overhyped, like Mercury retrogrades, overhyped, eclipses, super overhyped. I feel like because they're buzzwords, we make them more important than they are. But right. Are they real and do they exist? Oh yes, Mercury's about to go retrograde right now. Very, it definitely exists. And I personally do believe eclipse effects and eclipses are real. But it's kind of fascinating to consider it not being real, to be honest. Yeah. Just like people may not believe that there's space or planets and we're under a dome. Like, all that is very fascinating to me. Especially how, because at the end of the day, like, I always like to question things. Like, how do I know that what I'm told about it is real? I know that the moon and the sun is real because I've seen pictures about it, but how can I trust those pictures? But even though you can see them with telescopes, all right, what if those images are just like out there for the telescope to catch? I'm in the belief that it's real. I think that the moon exists, it's real, what you see is real. So it definitely is still a great question. And I do believe if we do find out that, you know, eclipses somehow are fake and the moon landing was fake, then that totally takes away from that in astrology for sure.
I don't think it takes away from our personal experiences, though.
That's true.
So, actually,
the reason why I know that the moon is real, though, is because we've experienced moon signs are real. So the fact that moon signs exist and you can note differences in moon sign give great credulity to the moon actually being real.
I'm glad. I am so glad you brought that up because, yeah, I think we should address that, too. We've addressed all the other logical fallacies that are thrown into the pool of why astrology should not be trusted. So definitely let's discuss the moon and their lines of, you know, there's a lot of people that believe it's not real or it's man-made or there's, you know, a man in the moon, right? There's lots of songs about it and things. So how do we know it's real?
How do we know it's real? This is such an amazing question because epistemology has been such a huge focus of late too. Once again, like, my sister asked me earlier, you know, how do I know I'm not a robot? You know, how do I know that cosmic overlords are not, you know, simulating my brain on a vat? And this whole experience is really real. And that's definitely something I've been asking, because I could tell you the transits are real because you can predict them. They can be measured. It's very scientific. But, I mean, how do we know that is even real, you know? So,
right.
Yeah. But anytime anyone asks me how something is real, I just say Virgo. That's all I say now.
You know, I think one kind of basic astrological understanding we should at least take a minute to understand, like, we've obviously discussed the fact that it's not just your sun sign, and obviously there's no way we'll be able to address or touch on even one millionth of anything there is to know about astrology. But one, okay, so, oh man, I'm complicating it too much. I'm a Virgo. You just called me out for that, I think. Okay, so signs, like people who are new to astrology don't know what earth sign or air or fire. They don't know what mutable or cardinal or fixed. They don't know what these terms mean. So maybe we can kind of talk about at least, you know, just brush up a surface, because you're really good at just describing the groups of signs, like what, you know, mutable or fixed or cardinal signs and how they differ. So people don't really need to pay attention so much to their sun sign, because they also belong to a group of, you know, you're a Gemini, but you're also mutable. What does that mean?
Great question. So, yeah, this is definitely like the language mechanics of how this works. You can think of the fixed, mutable, and cardinal as states. And then there's also elements. And then you have the signs, and then you have the houses, and you have the planets. So in a natal chart, the zodiac signs are going to be the different needs that each sign wants. Like Aries needs freedom, Gemini needs communication. You want to think of them as like a flavor. And then the planet is actually the function. So it's going to be the actual action. Saturn is going to restrict. Mercury is going to communicate. And if you put that action in a sign, then you now have the flavor it's going to communicate. So if Mercury communicates in Aries, it's going to communicate freely. If it communicates in Gemini, it's going to communicate logically. And now you have an ability to come up with the right words and adverbs based on where this is. And the house is going to denote where it actually takes place. So the states are cardinal, mutable, fixed. The mutable signs are Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces. And these are more perceptual energies that denote changes, which is why they occur right before the beginning of a new season. And then you have the beginning of the season marked by cardinal signs, which represent action and forward movement. These are the go-getters. They're always doing too much. Or cardinal signs, Capricorn, Aries, Libra, Cancer, they think we don't do enough. No,
they
actually
they just want to own us.
Right. Hey,
we're the ones
doing
all the work, like, man.
Right. They just want to do it all so they can say they're better. Like, yeah. Look at all this work I've done.
Or take like, the money cares. For our work. For real.
And then they get mad that no one cares, right? So it is really, that's just the cool kids are just chilling out and being, right?
that's funny. It's important to know, though, so you don't really have to know all there is to know about astrology, but even if you know, like, the elements that someone may be ruled by, then, again, that gives you more indicators and insight as to who we are, right? Which I think is a good thing. So, as a Virgo, I judge everyone and everything. And it's just, and with the Sag, with the tongue, that really, my Pisces probably should, you know, be an addict to shut me up, but that might actually be scarier. So knowing that, it gives me something to work on. I can be, and trust me, as much as I judge everything and everything else, I judge myself worse and more harsh. So it helps me work on that for myself, and through that, I can work on that with others. But also with that, there's certain things that are important to me, like don't mess up my carpet or my photos on the wall, you know, if there's a crooked line, I have to fix it. And it will drive me nuts. Like, if you want to torture me, you literally can come to my house and every time I turn around, just, you know, mess up a carpet. And you're going to see me bending over the whole damn time. Okay, so I can be more gentle with myself or other people that have issues like that, that, you know, people who leave the dirty socks on the floor, or, you know what I mean? And so rather than getting mad at them, which sometimes I still do, because, well, I'm human, but at least I'm aware of it, and I can, you know, okay, you know what, since we're here, and you're a Gemini, I'm going to call out my Geminis. I love my Geminis, and actually, this is all air signs. I love air signs. I married two air signs. All of my best friends are air signs. They're in my seventh house, and I can't help it, but, like, it's also understanding more helps me to understand that when they're ignoring me or when they're flighty with me or make a plan and fail or, you know, don't show up or forget or whatever, it's not intentional. For me, as a Virgo, a Pisces, or Sag, that's pretty much like truth and this and that. Like, I can sometimes, I used to always be offended. Now I'm not. Because that's just who they are. They're busy thinking about all of these other things, and they get, and you know, I sometimes get in that mind too. So I forget when I'm in my delusional state. So it helps me, again, not kill anyone.
And I love how you said that, because I can share experiences too, where like I've been flaked out on people, but then I realized, okay, consistently these are more mutable sign people, so it doesn't excuse what right. They did. It doesn't make me like it doesn't make me see, okay, well, this excuses their behavior, but it helps me understand, like, I don't experience this from other archetypes. It's like, okay, I can almost appreciate it, because now I expect it almost. And it definitely helps me realize, okay, that's definitely something that person's dealing with. You know what I mean? And like,
right.
Clearly they have stuff to work on, but it makes it less easy. It makes it easier not to take as personally.
Exactly. Oh, there's a Leo fire there. I have Leo in my fifth house, and all of my first boyfriends and fiancés were Leos. And I've always just had a soft spot for those little tigers. Well, lions, technically, but my cat's a tiger and she's right here, so... but it's not really a game, but if you just to simplify it, I want one word, the first one that comes to mind, the most extreme to the good side and the bad side of each sign. Okay.
Cool.
All right, Aries.
Authentic, but also tyrannical.
Taurus.
Let me take that back. So
one word. Okay.
I also want a tyrannical. I'd rather replace with whatever word is synonymous with like rager or like needs to work on their temper.
No, I love Aries. I wouldn't call them. Okay, by the way, I was engaged to Aries too.
They're really cool. They just get mad, and it's like, oh, I don't even say it's bad, but it's like one thing about every Aries I know that unites all of them together is they are ready to whoop some ass.
Right, but you know what I love that you said authentic? Because the anger and the rage that they, you know, yeah, they experience that, or actually, we get to experience the wrath of that, but at least it's honest, it's quick, and they get over it, dude, just as quickly as they did it. Like, they forget it like 30 seconds later, and I'm like, excuse me, can I grieve first? You know, like, so, yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so, that's great, Taurus.
okay. Valuable. Stubborn. or judgmental.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They might even be worse than me sometimes. I have a dear Taurus friend who, her chart literally looks exactly like mine. The same squares, the same planets, but, you know, set up. She's a Taurus. And that's insane. And she is wise and crazy as can be. And just brilliant. Oh, man. They could be amazing. But, yeah. Like, calm down, kitty. Okay, Gemini.
Smart.
Of course, because you're a Gemini.
But also, super unfocused.
Yeah. Dude, Geminis are awesome because... Well, we're not here to talk about that. Okay, so, but, well, I mean, because I want to hear your answers, and I just go off on these tangents, but so not only my best friends, like, one of the people I lost in my homelessness, a brilliant man, like, a true philanthropist, he was a Gemini, and smart, oh, my God, he, like... So we're at the lake, you know, walking barefoot, and there's a moon and trees and, like, pretty stuff. And so I'm always like, oh, look how pretty. And within 3 minutes, he has whatever I noticed or whatever idea or something I pointed out, he turned it into a multi-billion dollar business, and, like, in 30 seconds. And that's actually not even a joke, because he did that. Where everything he touched turned to gold. But his mind was so business and always, you know, because his desire to improve everything. And I'm like, let's just look at the moon. So, but yeah, I mean, how do you not respect that? And again, that's why I have to give Geminis a free pass. I don't, or all air signs. You know, they're not flighty, or they don't forget you because, you know, they're a jerk, or because you're a jerk. It's because they're focused with millions of ideas about how to improve everything. So, okay, Cancer.
Psychic, or we can say empathic, or compassionate, and then also... manipulative or not as manipulative as some others. So let's say, actually, I don't know. I'm starting to realize, like, I'm trying to think of a bad word for Cancer. I'm not. Oh. No. Yeah. I'm not gonna say it doesn't exist, but
there's a few.
I'll say okay. Irrational. How about that?
That's a perfect. Oh my God. That's the best, because I had to come up with 100 words, and that one just encompasses them all.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, you nailed it. Oh, my God. We love you. Well, some of you... No, I'm sorry. I'm speaking for myself. No.
We've all been...
Yeah.
We've all had to deal with one.
But when they're in their good side, you know, just stay there, please. Just stay there, okay? Wah, wah. Okay, Leo.
awesome or courageous, and brilliant. Then let's say I was gonna say a word. I'm gonna save that one for Libra. Let's say I don't know the word to say, so I'm going to just say narcissistic.
Yeah, that's probably...
Yeah. No, Leo is narcissism, by the way, but I didn't want to say it as it was a bad thing, because Leo kind of shows you why you have to be narcissistic, but yeah, I guess in the bad... Oh, there we go. If it was a bad, not narcissistic, narcissistic personality disorder.
Yeah. Yeah, that, dude, you nailed it. Wow. One word and yeah, you're that's awesome. They are so cute though. And really, I mean, they are fun to look at. and I'm glad they care, but they have beautiful hearts. And I think of this bright, big, beautiful sunflower. So, okay, Leo, Virgo. And don't hold back. I'm not going to punch you. You're like 1,000 miles away.
All right. I'm going to say perfect and also neurotic.
Oh, God. That totally. Is that all you got? Come on. Like. Definitely. Yeah, I can't deny that. I am a neurotic mess. And yeah, but even the perfect could also be the downfall too, because I expect it from myself in every single area, which, you know, that's kind of a downfall because I expect it everywhere else. But it's also good because I realize, you know, like, chill out and just go ahead and do your own and, you know, if you don't like something, go do your own and make it better. All right. Libra.
Okay. Classic. But also vain.
Yeah. Wow. That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. Scorpio.
Okay, Scorpio, let's say pure evil. No, I'm joking.
Oh, yeah. You know what? They're like my cat. They're like my cat. The cutest, most adorable, sweetest, raw, innocent, kind, compassionate, healer. And then she'll stab you in the eyeball. Like, no.
Right.
She flies through the air and, like, attacks people in the face. Let me tell you, this chick, she's a beast. She's got to be a Scorpio. But, so I literally, she can open the door. The refrigerator door, the bathroom door, and my front door. I have to put boxes in front of the door. Well, what do you think she's doing in the middle of the night? Moving those boxes. So she has these big muscles, and I have to put more heavy stuff in the boxes to make them heavier. And yeah, so yesterday, she got that 6-8 inches, the door open with the heavy box there. My cat has to be a Scorpio, but technically she's a Gemini. But yeah, her evilness is totally Scorpio.
Or we can just say extreme.
There you go. Extreme. There's that word again. Nah, there. We love Scorpio. I know I do. Okay, so Sagittarius.
Amazing.
Huh, thanks. Just kidding.
What's the word? Oblivious. Or, I used to think they're oblivious. Not anymore. Now I realize they just don't care. I was going to say wild, but I don't see that as a bad thing. I see it as a good thing. So,
I I kind of think extreme popped in my head.
Yeah, extreme can apply to them too. It's like different shades. I'm kind of biased with Sag. It's like kind of like my favorite sign.
Oh,
so.
Sag is, they're awesome, but.
Yeah, extreme. Extreme
it
for
is.
Sure.
It is, definitely.
Now I'm remembering.
It has to be. Yeah, so it was close for
or
Scorpio.
Or too wild, or just too wild.
I think, because we can push things to the limits just to see how far, you know.
Oh, yeah.
In every area, really. But, yeah, and sometimes that's good, and sometimes it's not so good. Okay, push the limits, for sure. Okay, so if we took extreme for Sag, then what are you replacing it in Scorpio with?
Okay, so for Scorpio, I would say, if Cancer is irrational, then we can say Scorpio is paranoid.
Ah. Yeah, okay, so my...
That's not the exact word I want to say, but yeah. Something to denote, like, they can be too untrusting.
There is a word, if it comes, but... Yeah, and this is, we're not, like, hating on anyone, or, like, trying to come up, you know, it's just a one word to just, you know, it's not even... It's really, this exercise is just to kind of get you thinking that, and, you know, about the poles, and that we all have them, and the more we know about that, I think the better humans we can be. So, Sag, Cap is next.
Okay. So, incredible, evil.
Diabolical.
We could say manipulative or controlling, but I'm going to just say evil.
Just straight out. That's, yep. All right. Aquarius.
Extraordinary, if not genius. Ooh. And then evil genius.
Yeah, they're definitely weird, huh?
If Capricorn is evil, then Aquarius is evil genius.
One of my dear friends has, like, 15 planets in her 12th house, all in Aquarius. It's crazy. And I know we don't have 15 planets, but it's pretty much like that. And, yeah, she is amazing. Like, yeah, really amazing. Okay, so Pisces is last, as always.
Divine. Pisces is divine. They're also pure evil. Or we can say delusional.
Yeah, I like delusional better because
yeah.
I don't think there's anything evil about me. Although, people who are evil think I'm evil.
Well, I feel like it's different for Pisces because, like, there's a difference between being evil and then pure evil, where it's almost pure, so it's not as bad. But I'm definitely
So like if you're a willful teacher from the dark side who knows that they're just here to help us. Yeah,
I feel like sometimes Pisces can do you wrong and it ends up doing you good. That type of thing.
Oh.
But that's really strange to say. I'm just gonna say delusional anyway. At its worst. But they're very divine. I think they're quite legendary. Them and Virgo.
Right. So I definitely relate to the delusional side. I know I live in my other worlds that people, you know, other people don't, you know, realize exist and don't want to talk about it. And that's okay. But then I also grew up with a Pisces that was the dark side, like, yeah, so, it's hard, it's just, you know, so, I mean, I guess the point of this is that you can't put everyone in a box, everybody has their good qualities, and qualities that we can all work on, and I think that's probably what we're doing here in this school.
Amen to that.
Yeah. You've been so fun. I hope we get to do this again. And thanks for staying extra and, yeah, sharing.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. I do agree this was very fun. And, yeah, I do look forward to doing this more myself.
Is there anything that you are feeling led to share that we did not address tonight? Or some kind of planetary message you want to leave us off with?
Great question. I would say now more than ever, as the greater essence of yourself is emerging, to just trust yourself more than you've ever trusted yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because if there was any time you ever had to believe in yourself, it is always now, but definitely now more than ever.
Excellent. Yep, that's it. In a nutshell. Okay, so thank you so much. We definitely want to do this again. And, oh, you know what? I did want to ask you, sorry, a couple more seconds here. Thepeacedealer.com is the website. Check it out, consultations, reports, and check out his videos. Get to know him. And, like, seriously, he is so gifted. And I would never be able to describe his magnificence in being able to tap into these messages. So I do want to thank you for your service in doing that. But I also want to ask, so you do sessions and cosmic energy tune-ups and things like that. Can you tell us what it is like if we, say, scheduled a consultation or an astrology reading with you? Like, what type of options are available? And what are our requirements to gain the greatest benefit?
Well, if you don't have your time of birth, it's totally still worth it to get a reading. And in a live consultation with me, I'll pull up your chart. And I'll immediately begin interpreting your chart, but you can interrupt me at any point to ask any questions. If you have any questions, you can call me for that, or I also do recorded reports, so you don't have to meet with me. I can just interpret it. And yeah, if you're new to this, be prepared to open the doorway into new magic. If you're already familiar with this, this will give you deep confirmations that will touch your soul. So, I mean, if you're ready for the real deal, please hit me up.
Definitely. And I'm just saying right here, and I left you a review a couple years ago, so obviously this isn't bullcrap, and I'm definitely not getting paid or anything to say any of these things, I want you to know. He is the real deal. So if you are considering an astrology report or consultation, and I know you have offerings on your website, but you're also pretty flexible too. Like if somebody contacted you for, you know, something that isn't like listed there with a button to click, that you would be flexible with them as well.
Yeah. If the time, because you can schedule the date that we work, if the time isn't available, just shoot me an email and I could always work around your time.
Okay. And you know what? I am so sorry. This was one other thing I wanted to address earlier. And because I have given out names of astrologers that I believe in, and, you know, with the advent of technology, and it's great that all this information is out there that anyone can learn. You could literally take free astrology classes on YouTube, really. But with the easy accessibility of it, and like you mentioned earlier, lack of regulation, it's just like everything else, media, alternative media, every type of community, it becomes flooded. And so I do want to caution you that if you are new, it basically boils down to what Peace Dealer just said. Trust yourself more than ever when you're, you know, watch everyone, listen to whatever you feel led to, but don't actually own it, like feel it first. And the vibration, and does this feel right? Because the truth is, just like alternative radio and everywhere else, there are communities of people that would want to lead you astray. And there are also groups of people that you think they're giving you this reading, but they're actually all saying the same thing, disseminated, you know, by the same sources. So when I give you my word and stand behind the test of time with the knowledge that Peace Dealer serves, I mean it. And I would like to ask you, because I really suck on the spot and coming up with names, so who are some other astrologers, say, on YouTube, that you would recommend that people could also check out to learn more about astrology? Did you mute yourself? Oh, there you are. Okay.
I would definitely check out PTAH, Ra Tahuti. Hood Mystic is cool. Aquarius Roberts. Gemini Brown. Of course, definitely the Leo King. Christopher Witecki on Soul Garden, but I think it's called... one moment. Something Soul. That's for Soul. Oh, okay, no, it's still called Soul Garden TV. Definitely check him out. Okay. Yeah. there are a lot. Oh, Jax Atlantics is awesome. Oh. He's definitely... I'm doing a retreat with him. And Starry Ari, she's awesome. Star Ari is more a Toltec shaman, and Jax gets into tarot too, but they're definitely really cool. Those are among a few. I definitely give it up to Carolyn Mayberry and also Alyssa Sharp. Alyssa Sharp is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Trahan.
Yeah.
I didn't find her until after she left. And I was bummed, but I was so happy to see her come back, and she's kind of been through a little bit of a wild ride herself. So a lot of things she described in one of her recent videos about where she's been recently, or I'm like, oh my God, that is exactly, yep, it's, she's, yep, that's all I can say, but she is a wise, beautiful woman for sure, with much insight.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Yeah, thank you so much for mentioning those names. Like, I know some of them you have on your Peace Talks, where you interview people, and other names I have not heard before. So I'll definitely check them out, too. So, again, just be mindful. There's a lot of great people out there telling truth without agenda and pure authenticity. And then there's those... that aren't, and really by their fruits you will know them, right? So always pay attention. Don't pay attention to the glitter, the gold, the makeup, the, you know, pay attention to how you feel in your heart when you're listening to their message. Yeah. So that's my advice. But dude, seriously, if I were you and I was listening to this show right now and I didn't know anything about astrology, I would definitely, you know, astro.com, you can get your free little report, familiarize yourself with the planets, watch some YouTube videos, get a reading, and then ask those more personalized questions. And thank you.
That.
Yeah. Anything else?
Not that I know of. I want to say something, though. I guess I'll say, and I'll follow this advice myself. Smile more. Oh, yeah. We are definitely headed into some darker times, and I don't think we're going to step into light until, like, 2025. So, until, like, 2023, 2024, like, just get through these dark times by being your own light in your heart and believing in yourself. Because trust me, like, it's going to get there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you on the spot. I want the first thing that comes out of your mouth. Am I getting this house?
Absolutely. And if you don't, you're going to get a better one.
I do have one in the way, but I want to be, this was supposed to be over months ago, you know. I am going crazy, but whatever. We're all going crazy, and it's okay. Moral of the story, be okay with your crazy. That was The Peace Dealer, the Christy Aphrodite Show. ThePeaceDealer.com is the website. And yeah, thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow night. We're going to talk about The Greatest Lie Ever Sold, and that's with Savannah Lynn. So tune in tomorrow night, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific, and we're going to discuss basically why people are getting sicker today. All right. Thanks for joining us.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
Whether it's for pain, meditation, inflammation, fungus, virus, parasites, all of your needs are answered with Mother Nature. Give her a chance. Check out mytrueessence.net.
The release that I have felt has just been amazing. What's different about working with the oils, I can feel it actually going in. Almost like putting a protective shield on the energy so that it doesn't feel so painful and scary while I'm doing it.
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive. And the scents that are in it, it's almost like it just pulled my soul right up to my skin level. It's like finding new life for me. It just seems to be giving me another chance at life. All of a sudden, I just know it's just like, the pain is gone. I don't